you, folks. You're now entering the corking room. This is where the final step in the bottling process happens, where we prepare all the corks for all the bottles of Brunello that you saw earlier.
This is PFW in progress.
I've always actually wondered about that. How do you cork the bottles?
Excellent question, Mabella. As you can see, we are soaking all the corks in this room right now.
EFW in progress.
These three guys right here are some of the most talented cork soakers. Say hello, you old cork soakers.
With Fred Kirsch.
I'm curious, how does one become a cork soaker?
As we are likely to say, cork soakers are born, not made.
Paul Carillo.
We here was simply born to soak cork. Come, Luigi.
I love a soaking a cork. I could soak a cork all the night long if they let me.
And Andy. And Andy?
Are all corks the same?
No. I like to soak the big, thick cork.
Andy Hart.
The great thing about the cork soaking is that while you are soaking the cork, you can also massage at the grapes.
Eric Scalavino, for now anyway.
Could you teach me how to soak cork?
You know, when are you walking in here, I could have sworn you're already an expert cork soaker.
Thank you. I dabbled in college.
PFW in progress.
Do you ever run out of corks to soak?
Yeah, I'll never forget this one vintage was unusually large, and I thought Giuseppe would need the extra corks.
And I thought Marcello would need more corks.
So we soaked each other's corks at the same time.
PFW in progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Fred here, your host.
Paul's
and I'll
here.
Be that host.
Andy
until
here.
2 o'clock. Andy and Paul are here. Just back from where?
I was upstairs.
Oh, yep. Where were you, Andy?
Upstairs.
Upstairs. What's going on upstairs?
I was writing. I was looking at the blog, doing a couple little things before I came down.
All right. Is there a locker room today?
There was. Eric was down there, and I think he is out at practice now,
yes.
Probably, but which is actually in
right.
Inside
early
today.
Practice. I saw somebody tweet
a little
out
earlier today
that it's
normal,
a rare
yes.
time that, you know, Belichick usually likes to keep them out when it rains. Is that true? I mean, is it rare? I thought they go
in
the bubble a lot.
Yeah. As yeah. I've always said, he's done it a variety
right.
of ways over the years.
I think there's two different things. Number one, my guess is that the weather report for the weekend in Pittsburgh probably doesn't call for
rain. Yep.
Rain.
Yep.
And if it did, maybe he would be outside. And two, later in the year, I think he tries to stay out as much as he can because you know it's going to be cold.
Right.
Regardless of what the conditions are.
Plus, yeah. today isn't today like red zone, 2 minute, all these things you have to get done, and you don't want to have to deal with the rain and the crap ruining them. You,
right.
you need to get the timing and everything down more so than you need to be outside.
I'm not really solving the world's problems.
It's one of those weather days that would be almost counterproductive to be practicing
right.
in. It's
if he
that
was working on the running game and he wanted a hard physical practice, full pads, I think there's a chance they'd be outside today. But as it's Thursday, and I don't think he's doing that, I don't think it's a big physical day. They had pads on yesterday, right? So
correct.
I just think it makes sense to be inside and get the work done you need to get done rather than, oh, we're big, tough guys. We've got to be outside.
All right. Well, we'll be here until 2 o'clock, and then, of course, a full day of Patriots.com radio. Jeff Howe from Nesson.com is back in with Eric.
Howdy do yesterday.
And then B-Lo with the Fantasy Lowdown will be here at 4 o'clock.
Now married B-Lo.
B-Lo married.
First show with
yeah.
a ring on his finger.
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to congratulate him. I would have done it at the wedding. there was some type of mix-up. I didn't get my invitation. Had to be a mix-up. But when I see him, I'll have a chance to congratulate him
yes.
on getting married. Who'd have thought? All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address.
You should screw with him a little bit.
Oh, I will.
Okay, good.
That's webradio at patriots.com.
I was going to invite you. I thought about it, but I was going to invite you.
The Ace Ticket hotline is 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398 if you want to weigh in. You know, this game to me isn't getting a lot of buzz. I think that on NFL.com, they said this is probably the game that stands out the most as the best game of the week. But I don't sense Patriot Nation like really up for this game for whatever reason.
Well, maybe even the way the national people are covering it, they're covering the Brady owns the Steelers angle. I saw NFL Network sent out their release of what they're going to be doing in their pregame coverage, and one of them is we'll break down why Brady has so much success or owns the Steelers or whatever. And I think everybody's looking at it from that, not just the historical view Patriots, but everybody I think is downplaying the Steelers, the puff team that they are. Now, yeah. They haven't lived, had they beaten or even hung tough with the Ravens, maybe this would be looked at differently.
Right.
But I don't think anybody is respecting that defense as much as they have in the past. And I don't think anybody is giving them the credit to having a chance like you are. I don't think anybody is really worried, quote unquote, they're going to beat the Patriots.
I think this is a bigger game for the Steelers than it is for the Patriots.
Couldn't agree with you
this
more.
This is how they established themselves
huge
as
game
legit.
For them.
If not, they're just frauds. You played three potential playoff teams in Houston, Baltimore, and the Patriots, and you lose.
So, from a Patriots perspective, you've got to believe that that team, the Steelers, are going to be up for this game. They're going to come out. Again, it's one of those things. You're on the road. You're going to have to weather that initial storm because there's no doubt that the Steelers are going to be up for this game. They're going to be flying high. They're going to want to set the tempo. I'll bet you see a couple personal fouls early because of that, perhaps.
I don't think that's a wise way to go.
It isn't.
Didn't work out so well for Oakland.
No, it isn't. But when you have a team that's coached not that well, that's what
happens. You think that Pittsburgh's not well coached?
I don't think Tomlin's that great. No, I think he's overrated.
You must think that their personnel is just off the charts good then.
It is. They've always got by with that.
I can't figure you out.
They've gotten
I'm
by
in the middle.
They've gotten by.
Yeah, I don't think Tomlin's.
I think he's overrated, but
I don't think he's anywhere near
like
Bill.
Listen,
let me get that
dumbass
straight.
Coach whose team is sloppy.
But he thinks that Pittsburgh stinks, and he thinks their coach stinks.
No,
but
right.
Somehow they go to the Super Bowl every
they've
other year.
They've gotten by with very strong coordinators, very good personnel.
But you think they stink?
I don't think they stink.
You said before this season they're big fall. They're not that good. They're
they
overrated.
They're not going to make the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs.
Well, I think it's almost impossible, given their schedule, for them not to make the playoffs.
No.
They're 5-2, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Their schedule is awful.
Yeah.
But I don't...
Yeah, I heard the friend. I don't know who it was, but
I don't
somebody
think
on the radio...
A great coach.
Steelers puff schedule again. They play everything at home. They always play the Patriots at home. This and that. I mean, they play in a physical, tough division. I don't know. First of all, they start every year with a couple games against a really good team in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Every year. And Cincinnati this year... is a good team. And since didn't Cincinnati 2 years ago win, go
won
like undefeated in the division?
They won the division.
So,
I don't know if they won undefeated.
And Pittsburgh beats Baltimore.
It's not like they're in the NFC West where every year they just dominate the division and there's no physical games.
Right.
It's a little ridiculous.
No, but they do
the
have.
The AFC North is a decent division. Cincinnati seems to alternate. Baltimore's always good and Pittsburgh's always good. Cleveland always stinks.
It's not high powered. You're not going to get blown out.
It's their kind of division.
Right, right.
It's a division that plays
their skills.
They would have a harder time playing against. But, The Patriots in Buffalo this year, the way they play
it
offense.
It used to be the same as the NFC North. Used to be the black and blue division.
Don't you think some of that is by design? I mean,
yeah, they play outdoors. Well, they used to anyway,
I mean, and those teams are physical and they want to be a run and defense team. And,
yeah. I don't think Tomlin's a great, I mean, certainly don't think he's on par with like Bill or, Sean Payton, I think is a pretty good coach and some of the other ones, but I don't think he's a stiff either. I don't think that's a great team.
I think
they've
always relied on very strong coordinators and the coach is just sort of that rah-rah.
Who's their offensive coordinator?
Offensive? Arians?
Good, Fred.
Bruce Arians.
He read
good.
The preview, you can tell.
No, I've always known as Bruce Arians.
Well, hasn't been there that long.
But he's been the coach for like the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, when Wisenhunt left.
Yeah. And Wisenhunt was good.
He read my...
Dick LeBeau has always been there.
I'm actually flattered because I always wonder when I... No, I'm dead serious. When I write those coordinator boxes, especially when we play the same team over and over again, I've already written everything I can write about that guy. Like, what am I going to write about Dick LeBeau that I haven't already written?
Right.
And I
saw a guy with a T-shirt, a Dick LeBeau T-shirt at Primanti's.
I always wonder, who reads these? Right. Evidently, Fred does. Good. I'm very proud.
No, but they've always had strong coordinators.
You're right. They do. You're right. I think that LeBeau is certainly the architect of that defense. We know it's not Tomlin's defense because when Tomlin ran his own defense, he ran a totally different system in Minnesota. So you're absolutely right. I'm just giving you a hard time.
Okay. Thank you. but I think again, they've drafted very well and they have a very good philosophy that they've stuck with. They draft to that philosophy. And that's why they've done well. Not because of Bill Cowher, not because of Mike Tomlin. I'm sorry.
I have a hard time arguing with you. Yeah. I don't think that Tomlin's a stiff.
No.
I think that they do really well because their personnel department, why, Andy?
Kevin Colbert.
Has
who no one ever says. Even Fred just skipped over it.
Who they consistently have a does a good job.
Right. And you would have said Bill Polian has a philosophy, right. But you don't say Kevin Colbert has one.
And they Patriots, win with Bill defense, Belichick and that is defense man. Is Dick LeBeau.
No, here, Bill Belichick's the man. In Pittsburgh, Mike Tomlin's just a piece.
Right.
He's just a piece of
Kevin
the pie.
Kevin Colbert's the man.
You're right.
You know?
I can't argue with that. Like I said, I'm just giving you a hard time.
So anyway, but I do think they're going to come out pumped up. This is a test. This is a bigger game for Pittsburgh. If they don't win this game, like Paul said, you know, everything that people are thinking about them this year starts to become true, not just perception. They have a chance to beat a good team, and if they don't do it, then that's going to weigh heavily on them.
I'm with Andy, though, and that's why I think this game, it doesn't seem to be getting a lot of – around here, forget about it. There's not a Patriots fan around that thinks they're going to have a chance to lose this game.
Yeah, no, I think that's part
and
of
nationally. Nationally, it's pretty much the same. I was watching a thing last night on NFL Network, and to Andy's point, they had Brady up with you know that they do the screens there with all the stats. 6-1 against Pittsburgh, 14 touchdowns, 3 picks. Last 3 games, 350 plus yards.
Yep.
All the stats, and then they had the Kurt Warner cam. They go to Kurt Warner. And he's saying, well, what Tom does is basically what we're talking about is how he gets the ball out quickly, spreads them out, and they're able to neutralize the pressure, and they're able to get Pittsburgh's weaknesses, with you know, their corners, and they get their safeties out of position, and all the stuff that we talk about and how successful he's been. Nationally, that's what they're talking about. They're not talking about, hey, this is a Patriots Steelers, you know, the winner of this is going to be the number one seed in the AFC.
Right.
Right?
Right.
If Pittsburgh wins, they're the number one seed in the AFC right now.
It's head-to-head.
They would have they would both be Pittsburgh would be 6-2. The Patriots would be 5-2. So the Pittsburgh would be ahead anyway.
Right.
But they would have that head-to-head win.
Right.
No one's talking about that.
No.
Everybody's talking about, why does Tom Brady dominate Pittsburgh?
And
rightly so.
And if I was Pittsburgh, that would piss me off. That would be, you know, not bulletin board, but that would be motivation to play that much better. But I want to talk about Pittsburgh because we all kind of know what the Patriots have done to beat Pittsburgh lately. Pittsburgh knows what the Patriots have done to beat them lately. What would you do if you're Dick LeBeau or Bruce Arians to stop that trend? You know, we all say that Pittsburgh, especially on defense, they do what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible that they do something different this year because doing what they've done doesn't work against Tom Brady? Harrison's out, you know, so there's even more of a factor of, you know, boy, if the Patriots spread these guys out, what happens? So if you're Pittsburgh, let's talk about that. If you're Dick LeBeau, do you do anything different, or you just hope this time you win those matchups and you can overcome that, or do you try to switch it up?
I think it's hard to switch it up because I think they're built a certain way, and it's hard to, you know, I heard Mike Lombardi talking about it on the radio this morning. When they look at corners, kind of different from most teams, the first thing they look at is, can the guy tackle? Can he play the run? Because they want to be the best run defense in football. And when you start that way, it makes it hard for you to say, okay, we're just going to go nickel and we're going to put our best cover guys on the field. Well, your best cover guys are run players first. So I don't know if they naturally have a guy that they can throw in the slot and say he's going to take Wes Welker away. One thing where I think they may benefit strangely a little bit is I think Timmons is a pretty versatile player on the outside now.
Yep.
And that may help them dealing with the tight ends, dealing with Welker, dealing with some of that underneath stuff, more so than Harrison, who's a violent, straight-ahead player who I always say, well, they just won. When you watch him pre-snap, they just won because Harrison's dropping into coverage. He's got to go out and cover. I don't think he wants to be doing that. I don't think they want him doing that. Whereas Timmons is not the pass rusher that Harrison is, but I think he may be better suited a little bit to help them against the Patriots. But beyond that, I don't know that you can do a ton when you're built a certain way.
Yeah, the guys, I just did a quick hit in Pittsburgh, and they were talking about just this. What, you know, because I had said, it seems to me that when you just do what you do, no matter how well you do it, that's a recipe for disaster against the Patriots. And given that Dick LeBeau's defense generally is, you know, we're very good at what we do and we're going to stick with it, that's why I think the Patriots have success. So when I was done, I was still, you know, I could still hear them talking. They were saying perhaps they might, you know, throw some wrinkles in there. Maybe, you know, some, you know, drop extra guys in coverage or put some extra guys up around the line. Because they asked me about the blueprint and, you know, the teams that what is the common, you know, the common factors that have gone with, say, Baltimore, the Jets,
right?
And even they said Detroit in the preseason. I said, well, generally it's four-man fronts that are able to apply pressure without getting a lot of without having to do a lot of blitzing, and with the one exception being the Jets, just have an exceptional cover man in Darrelle Revis.
Yeah, I would add to that knocking the Patriots off their routes early, giving them trouble at the line of scrimmage, I think helps.
See, but I think that's what Pittsburgh tries to do, and that's what Andy's talking about with spreading them out, and all of a sudden James Harrison's out in the slot on Wes Welker, not covering Welker, but trying to hit him.
Right.
Well, if he's doing that, that's a win for the Patriots because he's not on Tom Brady's blind side strip sacking him. That's how the Pittsburgh defense survives. They haven't been getting a lot of turnovers this year. They got a couple, I think, against Arizona the other day, but they'd only forced two turnovers in the first six games.
I think when you play Arizona, you get two when you at the kickoff. They just give you two. So it's like in the SAT, you get a certain amount of points for putting your name in.
Oh, by the speaking of filling out little cards, SATs,
yeah.
I got jury duty, middle of January.
Jury duty, middle of January.
January 18th.
You can get out of that.
Yeah, I can, but I'm not going to.
Oh. I mean, if we're in the playoffs, you're just going to say...
It's a Wednesday in the middle of January. If I'm not here on a Wednesday, I think it's not like it's Sunday.
You can get extensions, you know.
I know, but I would rather not put it off.
Okay. Have you ever had jury duty?
Then all of a sudden, the next one comes at a time that you can't make it for another reason, and all of a sudden, you're in trouble.
How come you've never had jury duty?
I think they've got my reputation as an argumentative
able. Plus, just so you know, there's a good chance I'm here by the afternoon because there's no way in hell I'm ever going to get on a jury.
Well, not if you're in Everett.
But I'm going to put down journalist as my occupation. They're going to say, see you, bye, thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Do you remember when I had it?
I might add talk show host this time.
Matt and Ray Ray filled in, and I was tweeting at Andy from, remember that, Andy? I was tweeting at you from,
vaguely.
No, I wasn't on a jury, but you were just in that collection room, just kind of waiting all day. And
there was a pool.
I was bored as heck, and you haven't heard anything about a case. You haven't even
watched the
video.
They allowed you to take your phone in?
So they mentioned, like, you know, you can't go on the internet or whatever, but they didn't mention, you know, your smartphone or whatever. So I'm tweeting at him during the show, having fun with him, and someone, like...
Federal crimes.
Yeah, someone, like, found it out and yelled at me. It was pretty funny.
Wow.
Dumbass.
Like a judge comes in and like takes my phone.
No, because I was reading the stuff last night, and it does say different courts have different rules in terms of cell phones, whether or not you're even allowed to take them in. Because I was thinking, well, at least I'll have my phone with me. You know, I'll bounce around Twitter or see what's
Learn
going
a lesson.
On.
But don't tweet.
You're not really
don't
supposed do to do it, according to the pamphlet that I read last night.
Well, everyone should, when they get the call, do their civic duty.
Oh, absolutely. But in all seriousness, you know that I'm not going to get on a jury, given what we do.
That's fine. All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. But I just think, you know, overall, I think that probably Pittsburgh Nation is more pumped up for this game than Patriots Nation.
I got to tell you, they don't even believe they're going to win.
No?
No.
Really?
I was talking, and they said very few people outside of Western Pennsylvania think there's a shot, and even half of those people don't think there's a shot.
Is that
so
right?
So they have seen what Tom Brady and Bill Belichick have done to them in the past, and I mentioned to him, I said, if you want further proof that it's Tom Brady's familiarity with his defense, just look at what you guys did in 08. When Castle was here, it was his first time against that. Now, maybe Matt Castle going against Pittsburgh now, you know, having seen it and having had some more experience, he might be able to handle it better. But he wasn't ready for that. Brady was ready for it.
Yeah.
And they need to do something different. Like Andy said,
plus
I'm not sure they
him.
Have...
I don't think he cares for the Steelers. Well, I feel like there's a hate.
Do you remember Joey Porter? Do you remember,
yeah.
Do you remember how he used to get
they
that
still don't
throw
think
up
we won any
face?
Of those games.
No, I know, but I still find it amazing that 10 years later you can still
I mean, all
churn
the guys,
up that
all the guys
extra
are gone.
Venom.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger brought up Spygate.
Did he?
Yeah. He goes, why have they...
I missed that.
Is there somebody named Ben? Was there another Ben on the Steelers?
I don't
he
know,
said,
UTEC
you know, they asked him, why have the Patriots have such success? And he goes, I don't know, maybe spying or maybe they have good coaching.
When was this?
This was the beginning of the week.
I missed that.
Totally. Yeah.
I kind of thought that would have been a bigger deal.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
That's a complete dropping of the ball by the
Strippers,
media.
Give me the quote.
Speaking of dropping the ball.
No, he definitely brought it up early in the week.
I want to make fun of myself. Yesterday, we were talking about the thing with ice cream where Andy was killing you about the ice cream thing. And who filled in for Pete yesterday, looked up. And I said it was an official government website. It was a .org, not Wikipedia. I was informed by my Twitter followers that Wikipedia is, in fact, a .org.
That's true.
Once again.
And Wikipedia
spouting
is
off.
A fine source.
It's not a source. You can make it up. You can write it in.
Well, then the community will correct them.
But it is, hopefully. It is a .org, and I was wrong.
But don't you think the Steelers, at least if you were trying to sell yourself on it as a Steelers fan, are better suited this year because they have a more high-powered offense? And theoretically, if they need to score 30, maybe they can score 30 with Wallace.
Do
and,
they have a high-powered offense?
They can get down the field.
Absolutely.
They can put barely some points score, on the board. You know.
I'm not saying they will, but I think they're better suited than when they were just thrown to Hines Ward. And Mike Wallace
week,
can go one.
Score 17 points?
32.
No, what was he 1 week?
They had 17.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the Patriots only scored 20 last week. Is that indicative of their offense?
But you know when Bill tells us the Cleveland Browns can score from anywhere on the field?
That's true.
Mike Wallace can score from anywhere on the field.
True.
They have the ability to make plays down the field. The Sanders and Brown guys can score, can make big plays. And
would you
have
be
a
surprised?
Defense.
Part of their problem is Hines Ward's getting older.
He's a bit player on the
but
team.
But he's just a possession receiver
but
now.
But he used when they were good, he
but
was
he's their fourth
a
or fifth option. He's, a le- he's less of
point.
An option for them than Ocho is for us.
When they were good, he was theoretically the big part of the passing game, and they were running the ball. Now the big part of the passing game can toast you. Can burn you down the field with big plays, with 25-plus yard plays. And I think that, if you want to spin yourself on why the Steelers can win, you'd say the Patriots have a terrible pass defense,
yep.
And we can make plays down the field.
No,
if they don't get, if the Patriots don't get pressure...
And by the way, the Patriots don't get pressure...
Right. Now, last year they did against Pittsburgh
right.
Because that's how bad Pittsburgh
was. I'm just trying to say, if I were a Steelers fan, I could sell myself on they can win this game.
I'm even worried if the Patriots do get pressure and Roethlisberger just throws it up.
Right.
You know, Wallace can... run under it,
right?
You know, because he's that fast.
Yeah, I think Pittsburgh's offense is decent. I don't think it's great. It's not as good as the Patriots for
God,
sure.
No.
So that's why I would think the only way I can win this game is if I can get it into a shootout and outscore them. And I wouldn't have confidence in winning that because I don't necessarily think that's the way Pittsburgh wants to win games.
No.
The Patriots very comfortable beating you. You know, 31-24. They've done that many times in the last 3 years. Pittsburgh, I don't necessarily think that's how they want to win.
But you could sell yourself on it.
Sure. Would you be more or less surprised if the Steelers scored in the 20s or the teens? What would surprise you more?
The teens.
Right. Me too. They scored 26 26 last year in a game that the Patriots dominated. Dominated.
But I just look at it.
They still scored 26.
Okay, they can get the ball down the field. And theoretically, Bill's going to say, make sure Wallace doesn't get by you.
Right.
The one problem with that theory is... you can't tackle either. You're the worst tackling team I've ever seen. So even if you're in behind him, you may miss the tackle, and he may still run by you. So I think you can sell yourself on the Steelers if you want to.
Yeah, Bill made a good point about Wallace in that regard, and it's not just all deep routes that he runs. You know,
right,
people
right.
have to respect him so much. He catches a lot of, you know, deep in cuts where he's cutting across the field and running away from everybody.
You feel good if, you know, James Ahedibo is one-on-one with him there?
You know, he didn't get behind me.
Right.
Well, yeah, but he went 70
well,
anyway.
Well, not when he caught it. After he caught it, he got behind me into the end zone, but, you know, that's different. I missed a tackle.
Wouldn't you be really surprised if Mike Wallace had a huge game, though?
Yes and no. Yes, theoretically,
okay,
for a
Belichick. Got them all covered, Fred.
But no, yes, theoretically, for a Belichick coach defense.
That's what I meant.
No, for...
he's
still
Mike
not
Wallace.
All that. No, I'm still not all that confident picking that secondary to do anything. Until they don't allow somebody to throw for 300 and make plays through the air, I think they're going to allow people to throw for 300 and make plays through the air.
They did it one game. We'll see
right.
if they can continue to do it.
That, to me, is not a real good trend, one
no.
game.
No, it's not a trend.
The defense is trending for the positive. The secondary isn't necessarily trending
for
the positive.
And we don't know.
And Romo still threw for 300, did he not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's his name didn't? Sanchez.
Well, yeah. He doesn't.
No, I know, but at least he didn't.
I thought the... Cowboys only had 250 yards.
No, that was the Jets.
Oh, okay.
The Jets was the
Cowboys
low week.
Had 400 okay. yards.
Right. Romo had 320 right. something,
okay.
I believe.
All right. Okay.
The big thing in the Cowboys game was the red zone.
Right.
Red zone stops.
Right.
Huge.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Orlando from Springfield's on the line. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's everything?
Good.
Tremendous.
Things are good.
Listen, I want to say that I'm extremely happy to see the return of Machine Gun Scalavino in his pinstripe suit.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was going to wear that again.
It was quite a sight the other night at the wedding.
Yeah. I was going to ask Fred what he thought about it, but,
Yeah.
Unfortunately, nobody thinks he's good enough to show up to somebody's wedding.
I'm still looking for that invite. It just got lost somewhere. I get a lot of mail.
Yeah, how about
I get a lot of mail.
Listen, first off, Brett, I gotta agree with you 100%, man. When you were talking about the whole thing with Gronkowski and the porn star and everything, it, you know, what you said about, like, this guy, how, you know, he Troubles. Like, I have the same, like, feeling. Like, look, he's an absolutely fantastic talent. I mean, I'm so glad we got him. But, man, I mean, I have a feeling is it me or is he just not, like, that bright? You know what I mean? Like, he just seems like he's really not, he makes some really, like, poor decisions sometimes. And not that he did anything wrong with this girl. And obviously, you know, people are making it bigger than it really is. He just took a picture. But, you know, I got the sense that this guy one day is going to, you know, I'm going to open up the paper and it's like, oh, you know, he did something, you know, insanely stupid.
Would you have Gronkowski babysit your one-year-old? You know, he's just... He's having a good time. He's a frat boy right now, and you worry about him because, you know, not like you said, he seems like a nice enough kid, but you just worry about him getting in trouble, and he just needs to be reminded, I think, that you got to be careful out there. That's all, you know, but because one of these days you're going to get in a situation, and you're going to not be in total control, and then you're in trouble, and not because you meant to be in trouble, but... That's all it takes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think I don't get the impression at all that he's a malicious guy. I mean, he looks like a really nice guy. He does look like a nice guy, but he's, you know, a little immature, though. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Like,
perfect, Orlando.
Doesn't make the great, you know, great decisions you should. Listen, another question I had real quick, and I want to break this up between you guys. For Paul and Fred, I wanted to ask you guys, what do you think are some of the reasons why the defense is struggling up to this point? And specifically to Andy, because, you know, he is a man of the people.
But, yeah,
he can answer this question even better. Andy, McCourty in general, what's going on with him? Why is he struggling so much now versus when he got in the league last year and he was doing great? What specifically have you seen? Do you think that, okay, this is probably why he struggled this year?
I think it's the man thing that everybody's talked about, being up in the guy's face and missing the bump. You know, the bump and run. He's allowing them to run without the bump, and he's struggling to keep up with them when he does. I think I think some of it now is confidence. I think there's, when you struggle that badly, I think part of it becomes mental, and he can say all the right things about being a corner and bouncing back and understanding it. It still hurts. It still leaves a little bit of a mark and when it's happening.
And what do I know? But it just seemed to me the thing that struck me with him last year that really I was impressed by from this rookie is he seemed to have that instinct of knowing when to turn. First of all, staying step by step, you know, for step with the guy, but then knowing when to turn to make the play on the ball. And this year, he doesn't seem to have that.
Well, he's playing catch up. That's my point.
Yeah.
It's easy to do that when you're with the guy the whole way, but when you're trying to play catch up, you can't always stop. It's like if your both cars are going 80 on the highway, then 10 feet between them is fine because you're moving the same speed. You're just cruising along. But if one car is flying up and doesn't realize how, you know what I mean? There's that hectic nature at the end.
Is there a chance that he's playing a little different technique or being asked to play a little different technique and he's not getting, like, safety help that he thought he was going to get? And
well, they've
makes
had
him
some
look
of,
bad?
They've had some of that miscommunication. But to me, he's just allowed guys to get open, and that has started at the line of scrimmage, right from, what do they say, Jump Street?
Yeah, and I think the larger question, Orlando, that's why I think they've struggled. I think that one of the few constants they probably thought they had coming in was Devin McCourty, and there's a lot of different theories, and Fred and Andy just gave you a few of them. I don't know why, but he hasn't played well. And their pass defense has been terrible, really, almost every game. It's been bad.
Did he have more safety help last year? Were they putting guys up top of him, you know, like to help him cover? Or I'm not sure if he had more safety help last year versus this year, you know.
I don't know, but the plays we remember that really stuck out for us, like, where he was one-on-one.
Right, it didn't involve the safety. It was him running stride for stride down the field, turning and making a play on the ball.
There's been a lot of talk around here about zones, a lot of zones last year, and there's been more man this year. They've been more zone dominant lately, but I agree with Andy and Fred. I saw McCourty make a lot of plays on the ball by himself last year, not because he had safety help over the top.
Right.
I wonder if maybe some receivers and quarterbacks really did a lot of studying of him last year and said, listen, this guy had 7 picks. What were we doing wrong? Why were we throwing picks to this guy? And maybe they looked and found some flaws in his game.
But the problem with that theory is I thought he had flaws in his game. If you remember in the summer, I talked about him taking a step back, but it had nothing to do with playing balls down the field and running down the sidelines on outside. It had questions to do with in cuts. I didn't think he was a very good receiver laterally in man coverage, having to go across the field with guys. And we've seen him fail there, too.
Yep.
He's failed at everything this
yep.
year. But he's failed at what I thought was his proven strength. So that's where I think that's a little, if he were having so many problems with just in cuts and guys running comebacks, you'd say, okay, the book's out. They're doing different things against him, but he has failed in what he was good at. That's a problem to me.
Well, what I'm wondering about the film study specifically is what you said. You know, he seems to be missing a lot of his jams at the line. And I agree with you, by the way. But I'm wondering if maybe some receivers said, you know what, this is how he plays it all the time.
Maybe.
You know, and we're having a hard time getting a good release because he's very good at this.
Right.
And maybe they said, this is what I need to do to combat that.
But aren't we to the point where that should have been caught?
Sure.
I mean, when you're tipping your pitches in baseball,
all that stuff
at some
is
point,
way too simplistic.
Your
you know
team
that.
Figures out you're tipping your pitches you and know. They change it.
Well, the last two games, he hasn't been too bad, right?
I don't know how you can say that. He had that horrible missed tackle on the sideline.
Well, missed tackle is.
But he was getting beat. Right, he's getting beat. I mean, he had a horrible pass interference because a guy ran right by him. It got overturned by an offsetting penalty.
Right.
He hasn't been any better.
Yeah,
he really hasn't.
We're
dying for some positives, but we haven't seen.
We haven't,
Kyle Arrington has been their best corner.
Right.
No, and I don't know how much that says about Kyle Arrington as opposed to how badly everybody else
plays.
Has been.
We certainly haven't seen the plays from McCourty, and it's a mystery. It really is. Orlando, thanks for the call.
All right, fellas. You guys take care. And, hey,
Yeah?
Oh, I think he hung up.
Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't hang up on him.
I think he was going to take another reference to Machine Gun.
Strippers sent me the quotes from Ben. He did bring it up. The question was, anything stand out from one to next game versus Pats against you? Apparently was the question.
Okay.
Ben. They're really good. There's a reason that they're consistently a very good football team. You can say what you want, whether it's the spy thing, whatever it was, or just them being a good coach and a good team. I think they're a really good football team. They like to do some confusing things, yet stay simple on defense, and they have Tom Brady. And then later, so that was, he brought up spy thing, quote unquote, in the middle of that answer.
No reason to say that at that point.
Later, he was asked, I think the last question of the interview, on whether the talk about Spygate and if it bothers him. Ben says, I guess only they know what really happened and what didn't happen. I don't get caught up in a lot of that drama stuff. So those are the two places where Spygate was touched upon.
Which, that's the last part is a blatant lie. Because you wouldn't have said what you said earlier, unsolicited, if it didn't bother
you. Right. It's on your mind, obviously. Right?
Sure.
Absolutely.
And then I was listening to this ESPN radio station in Pittsburgh. Did you see my tweet?
Yes.
Did you listen to that guy?
No, but you told me.
Was that Mad Dog guy?
No, it's a Stan something. But the guy calls in, and they're talking about the Patriots, and he says, you know, I always thought that whole Spygate thing was kind of not a big deal. They're stealing signals, big deal. People do that. It's everyone can see the signals. They just figured out a better way of. The guy goes, oh, that's not all they did. And the caller's like, really? He goes, no. Belichick used to send a guy with a camera into the visiting locker room, and they used to take video of the diagrams on the whiteboard. And the caller's like, really? Oh, I didn't know that. Well, that's totally different then. And I'm like, what?
I wouldn't start doing stuff like
what?
That.
I wouldn't.
How do you get away with that?
No, I mean against other teams, not against our team.
I just don't think it's a good idea.
But how did you start throwing? No. What really happened was.
Right. How do you get away with that?
It's like.
How about you look at it logically? How would you have a point where they've been in the locker room to draw up plays, but there's no one in there that would say, why do you have a Patriots logo on and videotaping that board? Hey, like, how would that ever happen?
Like, it's like in like high school. You know, when you leave your locker room in high school and it's empty. There's no one else there.
Right.
Anybody could go in the locker room. You know, it's not like that in the pros.
I just don't know how this guy got away with that. And, you know, so I tweeted it out, but I haven't seen. Oh, a couple other people retweeted
it. Why were you listening to this?
No, one of our listeners sent it to me, of course. Our listeners are everywhere.
They should. That's good.
So
it's like our own RSS feed.
I just couldn't believe it. I hope that this guy gets called to the carpet because that's irresponsible.
He won't. Remember the Redskins guy? It was like the Washington Times. They were writing things that were factually 100% inaccurate when I thought the guy should be fired. I forgot exactly what
Snyder
he wrote.
Snyder dropped that suit. He didn't.
No. About the Patriots.
Oh.
There was a Spygate article that was 100% false.
Right.
In the Washington Times. And yet, you can write it. Nothing happened.
Yeah. So, anyway. So
Andy and I are going to start doing that.
Just throwing stuff up at the wall. See what sticks.
We're going to.
No.
We're gonna
you're going to start doing that.
We're going to say things and start writing some things that are just completely factually incorrect.
But like, how is it worse to steal someone else's stuff that's true than it is to just flat out make stuff up? Like, Ron Bohr just lost his job because he wrote something that was true that someone else had written.
Right.
But you're allowed to just, for the Washington Times, make stuff up that's factually 100% wrong, and you don't get fired.
Yeah.
How is that
better? He should have gotten fired, obviously, and people have gotten fired for that. I mean, it was the guy from the New York Times that made up stuff. Blair?
Yeah. Yep. Blair. Yep.
Jason Blair, I think.
Yeah, you're right.
How do you just make
Barnacle,
stuff up?
Barnacle got fired for that. He made up a...
Well, he plagiarized, I think.
But he made stuff up.
He made up columns,
people that didn't
he
exist.
He made up people that didn't exist and wrote columns about them.
He wrote fiction and played it off as real.
But I don't think this is any worse than that.
You know, with unknown sources, you can really do that.
But I don't think that's any worse than what Andy's describing.
Yeah.
I mean, well, what that person said on ESPN, you know, they... Okay, we understand that it's based in fact. There was a scandal that happened that the Patriots were involved in. But you can't say, as part of that scandal, something that absolutely did not happen happened.
And certainly not without a qualifier. My understanding is, or according to us, to me, if you even write my understanding is, okay, you at least have somebody, it may be a little sketchy, telling you that there was more to the story. But if you just portray it as fact, you can't do that.
No, you can't.
We can do that.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Bristol, Connecticut. Jeff is there. Jeff, you with ESPN?
Hey, man, what's going on? My brother and all my family is,
I guess so. In Bristol, everybody is. So we got a problem with, one of your affiliate stations in Pittsburgh throwing out lies.
I wouldn't know too much about that. You'd have to ask him.
All right.
I got two things really. I want to touch on the Gronk thing really quickly. I know it's getting kind of played out, so I don't want to dive into it.
This is, you know, this is
your show.
It's your show. Yeah. It's the fan, you know, if this is what you want to talk about, go ahead.
The thing I understand is, I get it from a perspective of, you know, trying to keep young kind of rookies in line type of deal. But the whole kind of slandering the Patriots logo because his jersey is there, you know, I think it's a little bit of a stretch. Like, if you go, like, just go to Patriots.com and go to the cheerleaders tab, and you got the Cheer 365 thing going on. You got girls in bikinis all over the place. So, yep. And, like, if I'm the most conservative guy in the world, I would want my son or daughter looking at the Gronk picture before these pictures, you know. So
really?
I really don't think he's slandering anything. But
yeah, but what happens when your son or daughter goes to look up who she is?
Yeah, you're right. You're right, and I don't want to say that. But do we know for a fact that all of these girls here and all of these pictures have a squeaky clean background?
That's clean enough.
Pretty close.
Yeah.
We know they're not adult film stars.
Yeah. They're not allowed to have a non-squeaky clean background.
Right.
Okay, well, you got me there if they go Googling around trying to figure out who she is.
Oh, yeah.
But,
yeah.
You know, they know who their core audience is, the Patriots. And so I guess, you know, given her background, I can kind of see it, but it's not like, you know, they don't dip in that pool a little bit to try and rake in some extra dough.
Oh, sure. So, I mean, look, sex sells, okay?
Exactly.
And don't tell me that the cheerleaders aren't supposed to be sexy. Absolutely they are. And don't tell me that we as the Patriots don't exploit that on the website to get page views. We absolutely do. There's no doubt about it.
And it works.
You know, but I think that, you know, when you get in the case of Gronkowski, and by the way, the uproar is not with the Patriots. It's the media is the one that has made this a big deal. The Patriots,
right.
From what I understand, he bumped into Robert Kraft in the hallway, and Robert said, you know, you got to be careful. That's all. There is no discipline. There will be no discipline, as far as I know. That's all it was. It's the media that's making this big deal about it and asking him 20 questions. So that being that as it may, I don't think it's that big a deal. But I think in the case of Gronkowski, he has a little bit of history of, you know, being out there with a beer in his hand, having people taking pictures, and he does need to be a little bit careful.
So you nip it in the bud.
Yeah.
Before it becomes something that is a big deal.
I think in the Patriots side, that's all this was. I think the media made it more than it was. Now, personally, now, this is just me. Personally, I have no problem, and I think Felger had said the same thing when it came to Roy Williams Jr. or whoever that guy's from Monday Night Football. He said, you know, ESPN has a perfect
Hank
right.
Williams.
Hank Williams.
Roy Williams.
ESPN has a perfect right, if they don't want to associate with someone who is saying something they don't like, to fire the guy or disassociate themselves with it. And I think any brand has a right, when they feel uncomfortable with an association, to do something about that. You know, so that's just a personal thing. You know, if the Patriots feel uncomfortable with, you know, their players representing them in posing with porn stars, I think they have a right to feel uncomfortable about that.
In the jersey being there.
Yeah, in the jersey.
And truly making it a team thing.
Right.
Because Wes Welker's taking photos with Playboy Playmates and things of that nature. And they're, I mean, only a half a step up the rung from her.
Yeah. So I do think that, again, just be careful, okay, Rob?
Yeah.
Next time, just think about it. That's all we're asking.
Leave the jersey home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. That makes sense. That makes sense. And my second thing was, I know we've kind of been going back and forth on this and for a little bit, is I'm trying to get into the mind of Taylor Price. You know, I like him. I remember watching him break some records in Ohio. You know, he's a little short. I would love to have that stereotypical, you know, kind of beast wide receiver at like 6'3", you know, but I'm thinking if, you know, I'm him, I'm sitting behind, you know, Julian Edelman and not to mention all the others, is he just, do you think he's just sitting there understanding, you know, this is the system, they're going to put people on the field who are going to win us games, and I just got to kind of wait my turn, even though he kind of went through his redshirt, you know, deal last year. I like him, and, you know, and I don't want to see him getting, you know, underused, I guess, for lack of a better word. So I'm just trying to think, you know, what do you guys think? What do you guys think is going on in his head right now?
Well, I think he's said and done all the right things. Whenever you talk to him, you know, like you said, going back to last year, the red shirt, learning, getting a rapport with Brady, building, waiting for his time and all that. But at the same time, it's not a good sign that you're halfway through year two and he's useless. He does nothing for you. Now, I don't think he's necessarily behind Julian Edelman because different positions, the ability to punt return, those things. But you can only make so many excuses before you say, if the guy's not playing, there's a reason, and you're going down the road of he'll be out of town soon. Because Bill puts guys that can help him out there to play, and for a team that has no developmental outside receivers, downfield receivers, if he were earning chances, he'd be getting them.
Well,
because it's in the long-term best interest of the football
team. Let's just say they were ready to use him. The guy who you would use him over probably would be Ocho Cinco.
Potentially.
Could it simply be at
Branch.
Well, could it be simply at this point, we're paying Ocho Cinco $5 million, we got to play him over you because you're both equal?
Yes. At some point, yes. But at some point, don't you have to give up on that?
Yes.
And that's what I wrote last week. We argued this in Point Counterpoint. Is it Taylor Price time? And I said, you know, it's time to stop sending good money after bad. You've already paid the $6 million. Just because you want to save face, that money's gone. You're never getting that back. Playing him or not playing him, irrelevant. The one thing you could do is help your future, if Taylor Price is part of the future, get him reps now so that when Ocho's gone, when Branch is gone, now he's played for a half a year or 10 games.
Yeah.
I'm still a Price fan. I'm still holding out hope. And I still think if he gets cut, he will be a guy that produces somewhere. I don't think he'll go down the Chad Jackson route. I think he will catch passes in the NFL for somebody.
Yep. All right, Jeff. Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Tell your
Have
relatives we're pissed
thanks,
off
Jeff.
At ESPN.
Well, it's not their fault that some clown on an affiliate station.
I want them to do something. I want to hear a reprimand and a retraction.
Okay. Strippers just retweeted your tweet for you.
Good. Thank you, Strippers. Because I know he's got, what, 4 million followers? Strippers does?
He's got a pretty good alliance. I wonder if BB Jones is on there.
Probably.
Yeah, she had
some probably works for him.
She had some inappropriate tweets yesterday, too. Didn't help the situation.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Anyway.
Which is fine for her, because she has different goals and what she wants to be and all that.
Look, if you're going to get down in the mud, you're going to get dirty. She's in the mud.
And she's dirty.
Right.
God bless her.
I mean, that's the whole thing is, you know, again, I'll say what I said the other day. We wish that these guys who came from, you know, sordid backgrounds were able to separate themselves from the posse that they came up with. But, you know, because if you associate with these people, even if you don't mean to get in trouble, chances are you might.
But it's so funny because I personally think Jenna Jameson made the leap a few years ago where she went from porn to mainstream. Well, if this were Jenna Jameson, would it be okay?
Yeah, I don't.
Because she had become like an acceptable porn star. She was like everywhere and she had gone mainstream.
I think it's not much different. But I do agree that porn is more mainstream than it's ever
right.
been.
Right.
You know.
If there weren't a market for it, there wouldn't be all these ways to get it and people making a lot of money.
Unfortunately, you know, we laugh about it as adults, but we still don't want our kids seeing that
stuff. No, God, no.
You know, and it's still, we're entertainment. It's the Patriots. It's a bigger brand than males from 18 to 35. You know?
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And you know, then you get into the slippery issue because, again, 10, 15 years ago, the picture would mean nothing. It's a blonde wearing Gronkowski's jersey. But in this day and age, I have a four-year-old who finds his way into weird stuff on the internet.
Right.
Google and YouTube, right. And all of a sudden, yes, you're going down a slope you don't want to go down.
Right.
So yes, as a parent, and yeah. But you don't think that when you're Rob Gronkowski. I wouldn't think that. I wouldn't necessarily, you know, I'm in a place and this hot blonde porn star, it's kind of a silly moment with the guys. You don't think the same when you're out with, you know, your brother and five friends as you would if you were out with your wife and kid.
Maybe you don't, but you should.
Yes, but it's easier to say than to do.
But that's the world we live in now. It's different.
I agree, and that's the only issue here is just you got to think. And yeah. But it's hard to do. You have to admit that. When we're out on the road and it's a Saturday night, you may say, do, or act differently than you would if you were out with your wife.
When the girls throw themselves at me when we're on the road, I tell them to back off.
For example, Paul, when we were in Jersey City, and there were girls hooting and hollering, and I yelled, show your... and she did. I wouldn't have done that had my wife been there, or my mother,
correct,
or my son.
Correct.
But I did it. I enjoyed it. I'm sorry.
Maybe not in a Patriots uniform either.
Well, I don't know. But so, it's such a big deal over nothing. Nothing bad happened. Just make it a teachable moment, as our president would say, and let's move on.
Our webmaster, Chris Ferreira, says, I thought it might be a good topic to discuss, as I haven't really seen any of the media discussing it, but why is Aaron Hernandez getting snubbed on the Pro Bowl ballot? The Lions list two tight ends, Pettigrew and Scheffler, but the Patriots only list Gronk, so Josh Barrett, who's not even a starter, gets on the Pro Bowl ballot, yet one of your best players is not represented. I don't get it.
He will be. That is
that
a mistake that is going to be corrected, that he'll be on
We've
the ballot.
We've already talked about that?
I checked with PR, yeah.
Oh, okay.
He'll be on the ballot, don't worry.
Well, that brings up a good subject. Pro Bowl balloting is open. You can go to Patriots.com and vote for all your favorite Patriots right now, and you can vote as many times as you want.
I'm urging people to vote for Gronk.
I think they should.
I know, but I don't think he's... Brady and Welker will get their votes. They'll be in the Pro Bowl. They have all the numbers. But Gronk may not, because despite the fart. It's on
my mind.
We know
it's on
always.
Andy's mind.
Despite the fact that he started the year on pace to break the all-time touchdown record with 5 in 3 games or whatever, now he has 5 in 6 games, so he's not necessarily going to have the numbers to get him in the Pro Bowl. I think he could use some help from Patriots Nation if he's going to become a Pro Bowl tight end.
Strippers writes on Twitter, breaking Patriots news. PFW Paul headed to jury duty on a Wednesday.
Oh, good old strippers. Okay, let's go to some more. We got a lot of emails.
Thanks, guy.
You know what? I think we have more emails today than we have had on Tuesday and Wednesday, which is not the usual trend. So maybe I'm wrong. Maybe things are heating up.
Well, they're not all Tebow related, are they?
No.
Or Gronk related, hopefully.
They're not all Tebow related.
Game related is what I'd like to see. I think this is a fun game. The rivalry, even the little Spygate stuff,
especially
the championships.
Roethlisberger is going to continue to bring up stupid stuff.
But even beyond that, the talent, the quarterback, your pass rush versus a guy who gets sacked a lot but is also not easy to sack. Mendenhall's ridiculous how bad he's been this year at 3 yards a carry. There's just, to me, there's a lot here. It's a fun game.
I'm just handed something. What
breaking
is this?
News.
Oh, let's see. This is from our lunch buyer. His name is Steve in Sydney, all the way down under in Australia.
Don't make that joke.
He says,
I have a daughter with that name.
Coming home in the car today, I was listening to one of the podcasts from last week in which Fred read an email from a bloke whose fiance... Why is that so funny?
I thought that was kind of funny.
A bloke?
It's not dirty. It's just a funny phrase.
All right.
Some bloke.
Fred read an email from a bloke whose fiance intercepted his yearbook and... being wrapped in black plastic, thought it was a girly mag. Then I got home and my wife hands me something wrapped in black plastic and says, this came in the post today. What is it, porno? Seriously, that did happen. Surprise that...
So ours come looking just like a...
Yeah, they put something in it so people don't steal it, I guess.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's all wrapped.
So now you have the excuse, though, because you can now order a porn magazine and say, no, it's just
it's
another
just
yearbook.
Patriots yearbook.
Why does the yearbook come every month? Is it a month book?
Right. And why do I always find it in the bathroom? Anyway,
with pages stuck together.
You had see now
always see, always that, has to take it a step too far.
I had insinuated that you didn't need to go there.
Wait, I read
that's
in the bathroom.
Makes
I don't
my,
know what you do in the bathroom.
My humor is subtle.
Your I read.
Is hit you over the head with a
don't
sledgehammer.
Don't you read on the toilet? I spend a lot of time
really
in there.
I don't.
Really?
I don't read on the toilet.
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just because
I don't
a
want
lot of
my
time.
Books to be, you know, toilet books.
Oh, I don't bring books.
What do you read?
Magazines.
Oh.
Legitimately.
Yeah. Sometimes my wife will have catalogs. I'll go through the catalogs.
I'll read anything anywhere. Like yeah.
National Geographic.
Yeah.
No, but you've never even sometimes you're like sick in the middle of the night and you pull out like the shampoo bottle and you're reading the ingredients on in the back of that just to keep yourself
keep
interested.
Keep off
the,
your I mind get off sports, what you're doing.
I've gotten Sports Illustrated for as long as I can remember. That's the only time I ever read it.
In the toilet.
Yeah. Either that or on the plane. I don't take the plane anymore. So
wait a minute.
Basically,
so
all the
books that you were in the toilet, you bring on the plane?
What books?
The Sports Illustrated.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
when I see you reading the Sports Illustrated, it's been with you in the toilet?
Absolutely.
I'm glad you don't come on the plane anymore.
Well, all right. I don't ever recall you asking me to read my Sports Illustrated. I don't know why you're offended.
It's next to me.
Yeah, but
yeah, but I'm in the toilet
right.
too, and I'm next to you, so I don't really get it.
I always do think of that, though. When I'm in the bathroom, like, you're breathing air that could have, like, some poop molecules in it.
It does.
And you're, like, sucking it in, and it just
absolutely.
It does disgust me a little bit.
See, I always thought that, and I think people have these toilets with an inverted fan that things that are in the toilet stay in the toilet, so it blows down, so
really?
The stuff doesn't come up.
Really?
I think they have that. They're like these $6,000 toilets.
Like an exhaust fan in
yeah,
the toilet.
Yeah, so it's blowing down so that stuff doesn't rise up.
I do think of that. There's like particles.
Yeah.
Finite little teeny.
There's one guy who thinks the Steelers have a shot. Rob on First Take. Who's that? Rob Parker?
I don't know.
I don't know.
Anyway, let
is.
Me finish this email from our lunch buyer. He says, surprised that A, living in Australia, I actually received the yearbook, and B, the thing arrived the same day that I'd heard the yearbook email on the podcast. I started laughing and said to my wife, you're not going to believe this, but on the podcast today, when I talk about the podcast, she knows I mean PFW in progress, and then told her about the email about the fiancé. She just looked at me, handed me the magazine, and said, oh, I thought it was porno. Not quite sure. I looked at her and said, and that would be okay?
It sounds like she thought it was okay.
Yeah. She said, I guess that's the difference between a wife and a fiancé. A fiancé goes ballistic, and a wife just says, here's your magazine. Now go sort yourself out.
Right. Don't bug me anymore.
I love that woman, and I'm still laughing. F the Jets. That's Steve and Sydney. Steve, thanks for the lunch.
Good
we
stuff,
do appreciate
Steve.
It.
Thank yes. you very much.
And the most impressive thing is that you got your yearbook very quickly in Australia because – when Carol was out of the office, I was taking phone calls from Millbury, Mass, of people who didn't get their yearbook, and they're like a half hour away.
It is. I just can't believe our post office. We got an email from a guy who lives in Woburn who regularly does not get his paper on time. Woburn. I could ride my bike there and get it
it's
to him on
time. It's why
they're
going out of business.
It's unbelievable. It pisses me off. And they blame us, which I don't blame them because, you know, that's it. But we mail it every Monday night. Without fail, unless it's a Monday night game. I mean, we've never, ever missed it. Ever. You know? And this post office constantly just lets us down.
But, I mean, there's a reason why they're $8 billion in debt and, you know, trying to cancel Saturday mail service and all these things. They're poorly run.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Brian in Brighton. Hey, Brian.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
What's up?
Good. I'm calling about yesterday's podcast, and I'm a little concerned with that guy who had a bet on the Pittsburgh game with his coworker.
Oh, about the book?
Yeah, about the book. And I think you guys are terrible people to give advice on this matter, because I don't know what's wrong with Patriots HR, but you guys get away with murder.
Why? What advice did we give that's wrong?
Joy of sex and stuff like that? Yeah, you're going to get your buddy... You're going to get your buddy canned with that.
Well, that's the problem. If you make a bet, you have to lose something when you lose.
Right.
Yes, Andy, but it's called subtlety. Subtlety.
Okay, so what's your subtle book?
I said
that he
Patriots United.
Okay, so I got, don't ask me how I know some of them, but there's two books that I'm thinking this guy can have that guy carry around.
Okay.
The first one that's an option is that book that every pregnant woman has, What to Expect When You're Expecting.
Okay, yeah. I've my wife had that.
Yeah. No, I mean, as a guy, as you're plopping that on the conference table while you're sitting in a meeting, you're telling me that wouldn't be embarrassing to have?
Yeah, a little bit.
And then there's the other book. Now, this one I know because I have younger sisters. Are you there, God? It's me, Margaret.
That would be kind of a funny one to have.
So anyone who knows that, what that book is about,
that, I remember that.
Terribly embarrassing to have to carry around.
Okay.
And
okay.
Neither would get you called into HR.
That's true. Those are clean options if they want to go that route. I think that'd be boring.
Clean but vengeful.
Right.
So,
all right, anyways, Brian.
Just wanted to throw those out. Don't want to see anybody get fired in this economy.
Thank you, that's Brian. True.
Although Brian, it is a Steelers fan that would get fired.
Right. Brian from Brighton writes in. Let's go to now Greg from the billing department on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Greg.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. You getting those invoices out?
Absolutely, as always.
I know that you don't work in the billing department anymore.
I know. I was just playing along with you. That's how I do it.
He moved up to the mailroom. That never gets old, huh, Greg?
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. No, I was actually, I had a couple of random things to throw out there. I know you guys a couple of weeks ago were talking about the commercials, the Allstate, the Mayhem one.
Yes.
Have you guys seen The Blind Spot?
Yes, I like that one, where he says, you're good or whatever.
Yes. And then he's laughing in slow motion as she's spinning. It's
right.
Fantastic.
And then he just jumps off to another car and does the same. Yeah. I like that.
I like those.
Those are very well done. I like those.
Yes, that one's fantastic. I rewind it every time I see it. Also, just a random question about football in general. It's definitely not related to the Patriots because Brady would never do an option. But on an option, say the quarterback runs 10 yards before he pitches it to the tailback who gets another 50. Is that one rush, and is it credited to just the halfback, or is it two separate rushes for the one play?
I think it's one rush, but the yards are split. And I don't know how that works either, so don't ask me.
Oh, okay. So it was just a random question I thought of the other day.
Yeah, it's a great question. So technically, if you give the rush to the quarterback, a guy could have zero rushes for 43 yards.
Right, exactly. That's what I was saying. Because you can't have two plays on one. You can't have two rushes on one play, but you can't have.
Yeah.
You can't have your attempts add up to more than the plays that happened in the game.
Right.
Right.
I think Andy's description is right, I think. And Cam Newton did have an option the other day that he pitched the ball beyond the line of scrimmage. So I don't know what the official stats were in that game, but that
would
be an example.
We'll check with PR for you to get the actual rule.
I think Andy's right.
Please do. That would be awesome.
But I have seen, every once in a while when I'm working on like a preview for another team, you're scanning the stats and you see weird things like that. Like a guy will have a zero in one column and then you're like, how did he, there's weird things that pop up like that, but I'll double check with PR. They have an official stat crew that knows all the rules and I'll see what the specific rule is on that.
All right. Sounds good. I appreciate it. And as far as the Steelers go, I said it last year. Belichick has his defense figured out. I agree with Andy 100%. I really think they're both to play that one way. And I just don't think that they can really change too much that's going to really affect it. Brady's going to own him again, and 34-17.
Well, that's why I think their one way to win isn't really about doing anything defensively. It's about maybe we can win a shootout this year. Maybe we can score with them. Maybe we can hang.
I don't think they can.
I don't think they can either, but I'm just saying if I were a Steelers fan, I would not say, all of a sudden, we're going to play this great coverage, we're going to spread out and be fine against the pass. I think I have a better feeling of, let's just spread them out and see if we can win 42-35.
I see that. I see that logic. Makes sense. Wishful thinking, but hey.
Yeah.
All right, Greg.
All right,
thanks,
guys.
Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
The only chance I could see for Pittsburgh, and I understand what your point is, Andy, about the shoot. I just don't think there's much of a chance of Pittsburgh winning that way because I don't think it's conducive for them. But to me, the one area that would be somewhat concerning to me on offense lately is protection. And maybe they're not quite up to par right now as they have been in the past in that department. And maybe Pittsburgh gets there. And maybe they cause some problems when they get there. Maybe they have a strip sack. Maybe they cause an interception. Brady's got 8 picks. It's not because Brady's not throwing the ball as well as he did last year. It's because some of those have been under duress. Some of those have been tips. You get a play like that, all of a sudden, you know. The more and more I watch that play, the game-winning touchdown against Dallas, and I just read a pretty detailed thing on what is it called, the National Football Post?
Yes.
One of the guys there, Matt Bowen, former safety,
yep,
has an incredibly detailed football X's and O's post about that play. And you watch that route that Hernandez comes in. The guy's right in his pocket. And the throw is just so absolutely perfect to the far shoulder where only Hernandez could get it. If that throws off by, I don't know, 8 inches, maybe the defensive back gets his hand in, and maybe worse, the ball pops straight up in the air, and all of a sudden you're looking at a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
It just shows you just how great he is.
Mm-hmm.
He's just so good and so accurate, especially when he has to be, when the game's on the line. But if you're Pittsburgh, I don't think they're going to stop him and force the Patriots into, you know, eight or ten punts. But I do think there's a chance that maybe along the way, one of their stops results in a turnover in a short field and, you know, double scores for Pittsburgh. They score, then they come out and they, you know, they force a turnover and it's 14 quick points for Pittsburgh. That's how Pittsburgh could win.
Yep.
A quick change of subject. I know Eric's going to be in later with the practice update. A quick teaser of it. Rozai Dowling and Dane Fletcher not on the practice field during the media portion of practice. But I wanted to talk about yesterday's injury report coming out in which Fletcher was the only guy, didn't practice, bunch of guys limited. And I saw some tweets, people saying, oh, it must be a good sign that the PUP and NFI guys weren't listed and they weren't limited at all. Well, they're not on the roster. They don't have to be listed. They're not part of the injury reporting process. They're simply practicing right now. They don't count towards anything. They're in a window. I don't, at least that's my read. No. I don't believe they would or in any way would be listed on the injury report. To clarify, some tweets were out there by other media members and things. They shouldn't be on there, wouldn't be on there. And another note I found interesting, Casey Hampton not on there at all for the Steelers. So apparently he's playing. I know he told Albert Breer that's the plan, but if he wasn't limited at all, I think it sounds like he's going to play.
That's good. And, that's big for Pittsburgh.
And Hines Ward, although I don't think it's that big a deal, Hines Ward said flat out he is playing.
Right. All right. It's a little after 1 o'clock. We're going to take our first break of the day. And we'll be right back with more of your calls and emails.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS. Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help. I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats. With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long. I'm open!
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. An account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows, and a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking, and there's this weather coming, and it's like dark clouds, and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows, and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes, and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. and his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks, it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either.
All right, back here in PFW in progress, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Web radio at patriots.com is the email address. Tiff writes
Whoa, very important.
Yeah.
If it's true. Strippers claims that the ESPN Pittsburgh guy says he has testimony on the diagram Spygate story.
Somebody must be saying something to him, or he wouldn't have said that. But
probably strippers.
Let's hear it, you know? I doubt it.
Do we really want to hear it?
No, not really.
I think we might just want to let bygones be bygones
but
and move
we
on.
We know it's BS, whatever it is. Tiff writes in. She wants the complaint department. She says, you know, I love you guys, but I have two issues with two of you. Fred or Freddy, she says.
I'm next.
No, I got a 50-50 shot.
Has to do a better job of circumventing out-of-bound emails sent by alleged Patriots fans who want to bring up alleged incidents that may or may not have a negative impact on the
Tiff.
Patriots head coach. Lastly, Paul attacked Nirvana.
Yeah. Look, I'm with Paul then.
Look, I grew up in the inner city of Milwaukee, and we were listening to Nirvana and had a great deal of respect for Kurt Cobain, not just nerds like me, but like the bad guys on the corner. Kurt Cobain's Nirvana influence is universal, so how dare you, Paul?
How dare
By the way, my mom listens to Earth, Wind, and Fire. I would never say your favorite band sucks.
Yeah, but I wouldn't be upset if you did.
On to my Patriots. I am very worried about this game. It reminds me of last year's playoff game with the Jets. Everyone counted the Jets out, and they showed up and played a great game against the Patriots. They have a lot of bulletin board material. Can someone make me feel better about this game? Pete is out this week. Well, Pete's one of the guys that had no problem with the Patriots beating the Jets last year. So
the Patriots are better. That should make you feel better. They're the better team.
They are the better team.
They're higher in the power rankings, too.
To get back to Tiff's little Nirvana thing, the first year that I coached that high school baseball team, when I coached Wellesley High, it's 93, I believe.
Ooh,
there was a kid on the team. I think that was, if I'm not mistaken, if I'm off on the year, Brooklyn Matt, don't attack me, but I want to say it was the spring of 93, or that was around the time that Cobain committed suicide. I want to say it's around that time. There was a kid on my team that was so distraught that he wore like a tribute to, you know, KC on his, like, he taped his wrist. He had KC written.
Oh, God.
His hat had Cobain written on it on the under, you know, under the bill. I mean, this kid was over the top. So that might have a little something to do with why I found it a little bit annoying.
Why was he so influential?
I don't know.
All the great ones die young.
I'm just not that familiar with Nirvana.
I'm not really.
Or Kurt Cobain. I mean, I don't know.
Are they the Seattle grunge?
It's just not my kind of music. I don't make fun of people for listening to it.
What's their famous song?
Smells like Teen Spirit.
Is that like their best song? Their most famous song?
I would guess, but I'm sure Brooklyn Matt will correct us in a minute.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to Thomas in Nova Scotia. Hey, Thomas.
Hey.
Hey. Can I wake you up there?
Oh, yeah. It's just the volume was a little low on the phone, that's all.
So you want us to yell?
No, that's fine. But
want us to sing some Nirvana.
They actually have been doing something that's different than what they've done in the past this year, especially in nickel situations. Maybe to deal with tight ends, I don't know. But they've actually played with three safeties, and they've put a young guy that they've been grooming for a couple of years in Polamalu's spot and literally played Polamalu as a linebacker. So, I don't know. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Yeah, that would be I think that would qualify as a wrinkle.
Who's that? Yeah. What's his name?
Mundy, I think, is the guy they're dropping in Polamalu's spot. But they've done it a lot. Like, last game that they played, they did it almost a third of the plays.
Yeah, he's the guy, by the way, that got torched by Gronk last year, Ryan Mundy.
Yeah.
Gronk had that huge game with three touchdowns. And I think one of the Pittsburgh guys this morning was telling me that when Gronk went to a high school in Pittsburgh his senior year, I believe, Woodland Hills or something like that, and Mundy went to the same high school. They didn't play together, but I guess Gronk was talking all kinds of smack to him on the field during the game. He was killing him. I mean, remember how he was making plays all over the place that day? That night, I think. It was a night game.
Yeah.
So Mundy's a guy the Patriots are familiar with anyway.
Yeah. Other than that, I think that their line has actually gotten a little bit better than it was at the start of the year. Like, for a couple of games, especially against the Texans and the Colts, they were actually starting a guy who was a left guard that they signed, you know, a week before the season at left tackle before they signed Max Starks. And even though he isn't the quickest guy off the edge, he's a really big, huge guy. And what he does give Ben that some of the other guys before didn't is that he can give up guys around the edge, but Ben knows where he can step up into because there's a certain area that he's just won't give up that certain point, so Ben always knows where he can step into. What Ben really doesn't like is when people get walked straight back into him and when he sort of gets boxed into a corner.
Right. Yeah, I think he's fine if he has to step up. Some quarterbacks aren't comfortable stepping up, but I think he's more than comfortable. Part of that's his size. Part of that's his, you know, he has the ability, strong arm. He can get rid of the ball even in traffic.
Flacco's one
and
of those guys.
That's also something that people have a lot of trouble with against Brady. He also, like, doesn't seem to get fazed by guys coming off the edge very much as long as he has somewhere to step into. Key to stopping Brady, really, is to walk guys back into his face and tip balls and stuff really up the middle.
Yep, up the gut.
Now, are you a Pittsburgh fan?
I follow both the Steelers and Patriots pretty much as closely as any teams.
So like, you'll win no matter what.
Shows, but I also follow the Steelers extremely closely. I would qualify myself a Pittsburgh fan, but
so you're rooting for who on Sunday?
I'm rooting for the Steelers, but I'm actually kind of worried about it.
Okay. Seems like everybody is who's rooting for the Steelers.
All right.
Do you think they can win?
Yes, I think they can win, but I think they're going to have to probably hold the Patriots, you know, under 30 at least.
Right. But do you think they can score 30 themselves?
Oh, yeah, I think they do. Like, the two receivers that have really come on this year, Brown and Emmanuel Sanders, like, they're Santonio Holmes, except younger and don't drop as many passes, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, Brown is a kick returner. Sanders was a punt returner before, too. And, you know, they can catch a screen and take it the distance. It's, okay. You know, they can make you pay for missed tackles, that's for sure.
All right, Thomas. Well, thank you for calling in. It's good to hear from someone.
I was wondering why. Yeah. We usually get Pittsburgh perspective. Pittsburgh's one of those teams that do who's the guy? The Dallas guy did a couple of weeks ago. They check out the other team's media to see what's going on. So I was surprised we hadn't.
Well,
I asked him.
I've said this all along when I listen to Sirius NFL. The Pittsburgh fans are always very active,
right?
On Sirius NFL and as opposed to the New York fans who turtle after the game when they lose, the Pittsburgh fans will call back and take their comeuppance. So
you know what? That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
There's nothing like the Jets fans
or
Yankees fans after they lose a big game.
Right.
You don't hear, we have a ton of Yankee fans on the radio here in local sports radio. And when they get knocked out of the playoffs, all of a sudden, we don't hear from them.
Right.
It's amazing.
Yep. So thanks, Thomas. A little bit of a different perspective there. Let's go to Larry in Florida, Miami to be exact. Hey, Larry.
Hey. Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hello, Larry.
Hey, Larry.
Yeah, I'm a Pittsburgh fan, and we have no chance of winning.
Wow. No chance? Come on.
Well, Larry, you're a Pittsburgh fan, but you've called this show before.
Yeah. I'm joking.
So why do you listen to this?
Joking.
Oh, you're joking. I'm sorry.
No, but, I was calling in. First of all, Fred, I had to call you out on that. You really playing bumping butts?
Look,
come on, Fred.
I have no problem admitting it. It was totally innocent. We had fun, and if I was in sixth grade, I'd do it again.
Okay.
All right. But really, I was calling in because recently the Vikings had released Bernard Berrien.
Yeah.
I was thinking that we should try him out, you know? He's a fast guy. Yeah, he can't catch, but he's fast.
Don't we have one of those? It's Matthew Slater, and didn't we have one of those named Brandon Tate?
Well, he caught some passes.
Plus, we have two receivers who we'd like to see get into the offense who haven't gotten into the offense. Do we need to add another one to the mix, or are you looking to cut Ocho? Or
yeah, Ocho, the season's halfway done almost, so we need to do something. It's not going like you're going to turn it on in the playoffs anything. So.
I mean,
and do you think guy could come in and contribute as a receiver here midseason?
Yeah, well.
Well, the big question
I think
is,
could, because it's happened before.
Yeah, but the big question is,
better chance it wouldn't.
I'm not sure this is the guy to do it.
Do you think the Patriots, as constituted right now, poses a problem later on in the season? In other words, are you happy with the offense the way it is, or do you really think they need to do something because of future problems?
At full help?
With everybody healthy.
I think they're going to need more, but
yeah,
you
need do, more
because of what
time.
Andy's saying.
If they were fine, if they lined up Gronkowski and Hernandez and Welker and Branch every week, and you can guarantee me straight through the postseason, I'm okay with that. But I doubt it.
I don't have a lot of faith that Aaron Hernandez and Deion Branch are going to be at full strength.
Exactly.
The rest of the way.
And the playoff games are different, you know. It's a different season. And as it's shown for the two past seasons, you know, the Patriots 14-2, going to the playoffs and laying a stinker, you know.
I know. but is this the same offense as last year?
Pretty much.
You know, Hernandez
better.
Wasn't healthy.
I
think the tight ends are better.
Both of those guys, I think, are better. Welker's better.
I don't think Branch has been as good as he was last year.
Well, Branch didn't play in the last playoff game.
Why not?
I mean, Welker didn't play in the last.
Why not?
Welker's
hurt.
Good.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, that was.
I mean, he was
the year before.
He wasn't Wes of now, but
yeah, the year before he didn't play.
Right.
Well, you think he is the Wes of now because you think the first four games were a complete fluke.
How
do you like it?
Whoa.
You like it?
There's no difference between
You don't like it when someone exaggerates your points, is it?
16 yards a catch?
You don't like it when someone exaggerates a point on you.
I think he's 11 yards a catch.
Good Paul.
Fat boy.
That was totally totally an intentional exaggeration of the truth.
Well, I don't think Wes Welker is going to, by late this season, those numbers are going to drop, and especially in the playoffs, it's going to drop.
They already have.
There you go. See, you don't really believe what you're saying.
Right,
there's your true colors.
6 for 45.
Larry. Thanks, Larry.
For the call.
All right, Fred. Okay. Stop playing Aztag, please.
What did he say?
Stop playing Aztag, please.
Not what we were playing.
Well, it sounds kind of sounds like that's
now,
what
Now, did you always have to bump into each other with butts?
No.
Oh.
No, you just smash into
you
each other.
You could go sword first?
You just smash into each other.
Lead with your missile, so to speak?
You try to get from one end to the other. Without being smashed into, you know.
Just so you know, the answer was yes. It was always butt banging, not.
Oh, you're sitting on your butt when you do it.
Right, but your lower back butt banging. I don't want to lead with my missile. Did you lead with your missile most times? You got something big on your nose.
Really?
I still care.
That'd be more appropriate for Eric.
You still do. Big booger or something. Really? Still there. Yep, still there.
All right.
It's still there.
My God.
Get it out. Look in the mirror.
Oh, I see. Oh, no, that's...
That's white chocolate macadamia
white chocolate
nut.
Macadamia nut.
How'd you get it up your nose?
I don't know. Julia says, I live in Orlando, was born in Mass, and have been a Patriots fan since my old man showed me the way. I just started listening to your show yesterday, and it's pretty damn funny.
Wow.
Got a question. Will 85 turn visible this year at all? Maybe. I don't know if he means visible or invisible. I think I may have jinxed it in Tampa.
I'm sure
he
meant visible.
I work for the Bucks, and after the game, as the Pats were walking into the tunnel, I noticed I happened to be next to him, and I said to him, he needs to get 10 touchdowns and 1,000 yards since he has Brady. It shouldn't be a problem. He said, all right, boss, I'll do my best. 7 weeks later, his best is letting me down. I dropped him from my fantasy team, and I've hired a lawyer to see what my legal options are. Seriously, with Branch and Welker plus the tight ends, I can say without fear of contradiction that Ocho Cinco is not coming back. Will he have a good game at all this year?
Yes. I still predict it.
I think he'll have a good game.
Not saying it's this week.
You do.
Not saying it's next.
Yeah. I don't know if he'll have... I don't know what the definition of a good game is necessarily.
He'll have 100 yards and a touchdown.
10 receptions and or 100 yards.
I mean, yeah. If it's 100 yards, it's going to be largely on one play. I don't
that
see him.
Be.
I don't see him having a consistently
but
good game.
But if you catch a 41-yard touchdown and then have a couple other catches, you're going to be around 100.
Yeah, I think it'll take more like a 60, 70-yard touchdown for him to get to 100.
Oh, then I don't think he's getting to 100.
Jess writes in, Razai was absent at practice today. I'm not going to ask if it's time to be worried. I'm wondering if it's time to be angry.
Yes.
It's not like the Pats had 8 minutes to make this pick. They had 20 hours from the end of the first round to the beginning of the second. How do we end up picking a guy who's been hurt since high school? Brutal.
Brandon Tate route. It's the value. It's the upside of the injury. Bill seems to be comfortable doing that, taking the upside base. I mean, he did it multiple times this draft. Marcus Cannon's the same thing. Everybody else passed on him.
The Marcus Cannon one I'm okay with, not because it looks like it's working out, but Marcus Cannon was taken three, maybe, depending on who you believed, four rounds later than his talent was.
Right.
This guy got drafted right around the time everybody thought he should be drafted, and he had injury concerns.
Yeah. I have trouble with some of those things.
I mean, he was a second-round pick, though, right?
No, I know.
He could
only go 32 spots lower than he could have if he were healthy. But this Marcus Cannon one, we've had plenty of people we thought was a end-of-the-first, early second-round tackle who suddenly in the fourth or fifth round they're still available who didn't have cancer, never mind having cancer. So it depends who you believe. It makes for a nice story to say he was a first-round pick. If it weren't for cancer, he went in the fifth. But we don't know that to be fact.
Well,
for
no,
all we know,
no,
he would have gone late fourth if healthy.
You're right.
Right?
You're right. I just was going by with I rely on a lot of the.
But you could do that with anybody.
Draft guys
do it. We follow it close enough so we know every year some guy we're talking about as a late first, early second is available on the third day of the draft.
Yeah. You're right about that. And it's a good point. When we look at, I shouldn't say we, when I look at those tapes that we get,
you ignore the linemen.
Well, yes, but I do try. I do try to get an idea of what the individual players, and I say I kind of like this guy. I kind of like that guy. I really don't like this guy much, but I don't necessarily look at that and stack it. You know, like you put a big board together and you stack it vertically and horizontally.
No question.
Right now, I don't necessarily try to tabulate where I think a guy is and where he should be drafted. You know, Stephen Ridley and Shane Vereen, I liked both of those guys. If you put a gun to my head and said, well, which guy do you think would be a higher draft pick without me having any knowledge of where, like, the NFL draft scouts and the Mike Mayocks of the world have these guys rated, I probably wouldn't be able to tell you.
Right.
I just told you I like those. And Daniel Thomas was another one from Miami who I like. I like them. I thought they could play. Mark Ingram was one I didn't like as much. Ingram might turn out to have a better career than all of them. He was first one taken. Who knows? But and I also think he's in a perfect offense for him. He's going to probably be putting up more numbers than his talent necessarily would.
He's leaving much to be desired so far.
No, I know he hasn't played great, but it's only
as is Daniel Thomas, my
it's only
guy,
seven
who's
games
rushing for 100 yards and fumbling, much like he did in college,
and having a hard time catching the ball too, which everybody said was going to be a problem for him too.
He has lived up to his resume 100%. Or even running the Wildcat with him, which was part of his resume.
You know, so I have to rely on other people to tell me where they're supposed to get drafted, their projected rounds.
TG and NJ says we're the gayest football show on the internet.
I'll take that. That's fine.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just because Fred bumps butts?
That's fine. No, he says, hello, Matt and Squidward and Andy and Fred. Yes, that's right. Paul is the only member of PFW left who has not been called gay. Although using the word member just now, I'm sure Andy will find a way. I don't find it. We are friends of all points of view.
I went to a gay wedding long before I went to a Jewish wedding.
Right. The football question. Safety Chris Harris just got released from the Bears. Any interest for the Patriots? Should they be looking at this guy? Heard about that. I guess he was a second-team All-Pro last year.
Yeah, why is he not playing this year?
I don't know.
Why has he only played in three games?
Yeah, I don't know. There must be a pretty good reason why they
Fred count. Came in my office and talked to me about this guy, and I have to plead ignorant. I didn't know who he was.
Obviously, they have Merriweather.
Yeah.
He's kind of a journeyman, too. He was in Chicago, then he went to Carolina, then he went back to Chicago, and I think he's been around for, this is his seventh year. For the most part, he's had two good years. He had 1 year where he had, 100 tackles and 8 forced fumbles, and then he had last year he had 5 picks.
Is he better than Sergio Brown?
Yes.
Okay, then sign him.
I don't think Sergio Brown's capable of having a season that he has 100 tackles and 5 picks.
Are we not concerned about our poor secondary versus the Steelers' speedy wide receivers? Won't Mike Wallace be burning Devin McCourty all day? I don't think this weekend is a gimme. Our defense has never been this bad. I know this is everything except Patriots.com, so how do you men of football and Squidward Wilson and Butt Splasher see the Lions versus St. Tim of Tebow game playing out? Won't the Lions' D-line be all over the blessed one when he leaves the pocket? Yeah, we're going to do our picks in a little while, but I look for the Lions to win that game.
They may send him to meet his father.
Yeah. Lastly, Andy, I'm on board with you and Wilson, even though you won't give us the formula. My question is, can you use the same algorithm with individual player performance and rank them accordingly?
No.
No. If so, how about using it with Paulie's nice little player and then revisit your opinion on signing Welker?
Hey, guy.
I understand your point in regards to re-signing Wes, but he is not your average 31-year-old wideout. He's special, and you need to take that into account.
Why is he special?
His value skews the market, and I think you're off on this one, kind of like the way you were off on your assessment of Kevin Fox skills a year or so ago.
Yeah, a year or so?
Yeah, it was
about
5 years ago. Right. Guys,
it was 10 years ago. It was before he was drafted.
Guys, the show
grew
have been
by
great
like three
lately.
Years mid sentence there. So you guys want to get on the same page?
All right, good.
Was it closer to 5 years ago or 1 year ago?
Closer to 5 years ago.
Three. So neither.
No, that'd be closer to five.
1 minus 2 is 3. 5 minus 3 is 2. The difference is 2.
It was early of that year. It was before the season started.
Go eat some ice cream in the winter.
Months count, too. Guys, the shows have been great lately. Keep it going. But please, Fred, you guys really need to be on Patriots Monday and Fridays, even if it's just a two-hour show or something. The EEI crew.
Just a two-hour show.
Just
that's
ain't
all we
cutting
do.
It. Nothing more annoying than tuning in and hearing Red Sox talk.
Andy, sure. Why are you so defensive today? Are people mocking your...
today?
Good point. Are people giving you...
No,
he doesn't want to sign Wes Welker.
No grief for the
No grief for
rankings.
The power rankings?
No. I was defensive on the rankings.
Well, the power ranking has been a big hit.
It has been getting some criticism, but that's okay. That's the whole idea.
Well, and I responded in kind with your stupid.
And I think over time, people will see. And Andy, why don't you talk about what you uncovered when you went back a couple years with the same algorithm?
Well, last year specifically, the final regular season power rankings using the Wilson-Hart Power Index would have had your New England Patriots 1, which is a flaw. They lost in the first round of the playoffs. Sorry, not my fault. If they had a game plan,
they were wrong.
But 2 and 3 were the Super Bowl champion Green Bay Packers and the Super Bowl runner-up Pittsburgh Steelers. And we also had the Super Bowl champion as number 2 the year before. That was the Saints. I believe finished number 2 in the power rankings.
Behind Indy?
I'll have to check that.
So it has merit.
Wilson's still working. Or Brooklyn Decker,
Wilson!
If you want to call him or her that.
And why can't people just believe you when you say that you have... You've consulted with experts in the field. You're using
stupid.
Numbers. Why do they need to know what the formula is?
Because they don't
it's
understand that word. Proprietary.
Yes.
What do you have the formula for Coke, or is it locked in a safe in Atlanta somewhere and only one person has access to the safe? It's locked in a safe.
That's why he's talking fast.
Eric's here.
Hi, Fred.
Hey, Eric. You just came back from practice. Well, not just.
Not
but
just, but.
Practice was earlier.
Yeah, they called an audible on us today. Moved things around, made us go in earlier.
Back 82.
Oh my
back 82.
Yeah.
Frisco.
Dane Fletcher remains out. And
out of where?
Practice.
What do we have any idea what's
going on? No, but
is it related to the hand injury, or
he's listed with the thumb, Fletcher? But he's been playing with it.
It says thumb on the injury report.
I don't know. Something tells me there's more to this story.
He's right in his hands.
Is the something Andy?
No, that one.
He's right in his hands.
No, the other one.
Oh, that one.
Yeah.
I still stand by. Last time I talked to him, he wasn't very happy.
And Razai Dowling.
Yeah.
He didn't make it today.
So evidently, Eric has gone the anger route.
Yeah, somebody just asked, anger?
Should we be worried or angry?
About Razai Dowling.
Should you be worried or angry? Probably both.
Both.
Yeah.
Is the door closed on the Razai Dowling era? You closing that
so
door?
So he was out there yesterday.
Limited basis.
And now he's out.
And he was not there at the start today. We'll find out what happened.
With a hip. Do we know specifically?
With a hip. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I mean, not specifically. That's what it said
no,
on the injury
but
report.
That's... I didn't know if it said
now
leg.
A hip injury could be anything. I mean, as you know, your favorite player had a quote unquote hip injury. Mm-hmm.
He'll be out there next week, except next week never came, and now he's got a freaking titanium hip.
It ended his career.
Based on what we've seen him do, this seems to be more hip flexor, hip muscular related. Yeah, it does not appear to be degenerative in any way.
See that word? I think.
Although he has been injured quite frequently since high school, as we've noted many times on this show.
Right, but he may not have had a hip injury before. Or he may have. I don't know.
Well, and I was asking somebody about this.
To his medical history.
I was asking somebody about this.
You just let him talk.
Because.
He just interrupted you.
I'm going to give you the Fred look at the camera, Paul. Do you remember, I think it was last year.
No.
May have been the year before. I think it was last year. Jonathan Wilhite was on the injury report for about 6 weeks with a hamstring injury. And then when he finally went on IR, they sent it to the league and said it was officially a hip injury. And we were all shaking our heads like, he's been listed with a hamstring, now they're saying it's a hip, what's going on? So I was asking somebody today about that, just brought that up,
right?
Because we were talking about Razai Dowling. And he said, in other places where he's been, he has seen there have been injuries that have started out as a hamstring, and it has worked its way up to the hip after a while. So it's not out of the question for it to start out as one thing and end up being something
else. So you think
you could have a collateral lung and then not have a cut?
Dowling had a hamstring problem, right?
He had a hamstring problem.
That's why I was asking if we knew specifically what it was, because I was wondering if it was just one of those hamstrings and he keeps coming back and keeps re-aggravating and it's setting him back further.
It could be one of, if this person is accurate, which I have reason to question whether or not it is, but, No, it's not.
You
him.
Idiot. If you listened, he just told you who it was.
I'm only kidding.
We don't really need to get into
the
code here.
No, but
Put it out there very nicely.
The wind talker over here.
If that's the case, then that would make some sense as to why he's been listed with a hip and why it's taking so long. And if it's related to the hamstring, I have concerns.
Those are the little things that Eric does, the daily updates. I would have never, ever come up with that in gun to my head.
What?
That Will Height was on the injury report for like 6 weeks with a hamstring, and all of a sudden it said hip. No recollection of that whatsoever. I mean, I remember Will Height being out for a while, and then they said, all right, we got to put him on IR. But I can't tell you how many times in the offseason we write stories about guys who missed the previous season, and I have to go and look.
Right.
What was he hurt with?
Strippers.
Fred finds nothing.
Speaking
funny.
Of hamstring, Strippers says that Chris Harris from the Bears, who was released, has had a hamstring issue since game one.
Okay.
So
that's why he's only played in three games.
Okay. I'd still take him.
He has like 8 tackles in the season.
It's more than Sergio Brown has. He's got 8 misses.
I didn't say I wouldn't take him, Andy.
I
you don't have to get mad.
Sergio.
But it is interesting that
you
they
have to stop, period.
Cut him instead of putting him on IR.
They don't want him.
Yeah.
So does that mean Merriweather's going to play more for them? That's not good.
No. Is that it, Eric? Oh, no, is that all you got?
They were inside.
Yeah.
Shorts and shells.
Now, they go inside quite often, don't they?
In bad weather.
They go inside. Somebody tweet today that it's a rare inside practice.
Well, it is, because unless it's really, really bad weather, they're outside.
Okay, I just remember being inside.
They go inside.
Well, because last year there was a lot of bad weather.
Yeah, no,
so
Eric
they had to.
Yeah, Eric answered the question
when it's
properly.
Bad weather, they go inside.
When it's really bad weather, they go inside.
Right.
Unless they expect
Unless
to be playing in really
playing
bad
in
weather
really
that
bad
week.
Weather, right.
So I don't see why everyone was like oh, this is something different.
If
this
was worked up over this, first of all?
I don't want to say.
Why? Why don't you want to say?
Is
why
it,
don't
is
you
it Ann Lynx?
No.
No?
No.
Why are you not popular with
the answer is obvious, because if it were anyone else, you'd rip them. It's the one person who is under your wing.
Oh.
They're all under my wing.
No.
No, who used to be under his wing.
Yes.
Yeah.
He worked for you once.
Who's very sensitive.
By the way, you know, we offered Greg Bedard, who's a friend of the show, friend of the show from the Globe.
Friend of the show.
Yeah.
You know, do you want to fill in? And he said he couldn't. You know, I'm getting this secondhand from
fill in for the
Kevin
playbook.
He said he couldn't do it because his editor, Joe Sullivan, says they're not allowed to do things for the team that they cover. Which, okay, I can understand that. Makes sense. Meanwhile, doesn't the Globe own part of the Red Sox?
And don't they appear on Nesson all the time?
So their writers are writing about a team that they own, and their writers are on Nesson, which
an excellent
is
point,
owned.
Fred.
So why is it?
Did you bring this up with the?
I never get to talk to Greg about it. But more, I should talk to Joe
Sullivan
about
it. It's not Greg's
fault. No, yeah.
Greg's following orders.
Call him.
Yeah, you know? But it's not that big a deal. I thought we'd give Greg, you know, a little exposure on the show, help him out with his career, you know?
He's pretty well exposed.
I know. I'm only kidding.
Exposes himself pretty well.
I just thought that was a pretty lame. Look, just say we don't want him doing anything for the Patriots. Don't come up with this flimsy excuse, you know, because you're in bed with the team that you cover,
which
is the Red Sox.
That's a good point.
I mean, come on.
Fred Kirsch,
that really came out of nowhere.
I just reminded
he wouldn't say that Mike Reese wrote something.
Who?
Mike Reese.
What?
Mike Reese.
But wait, what?
Joe Sullivan. Wait, I didn't bring up Joe Sullivan.
All right. Webradio at Patriots.com.
Anybody else you want to rip real quick?
No. What were we talking about? I forget.
Practice.
Oh, yeah. So we all set there?
Yeah, we're all set with practice. That's it.
It's okay to be wrong, you know. Everybody's wrong sometimes.
About what?
Anything. We all send out dumb tweets. We all write things that are inappropriate or wrong.
No, I'm just, you know, because I read these things.
That's
and
the
I
wrongest.
Think, wow, do they rarely go in there? And I'm like, geez, I can remember numerous times being inside.
And we're doing our service if we point these things out, because otherwise people read them and assume
and,
them
and
to be true.
And take it as gospel. Right.
So, you know, if I'm a reader, okay, I'm a fan, and I'm getting psyched for this game, and I'm thinking about how the Patriots could beat the Steelers and what the Steelers need to do, and then I read something. A rare indoor practice. Now I'm thinking, oh, why did they go indoor? Mm. You know, I'm reading into that as part of the strategy. When all it is it's freaking raining, and they do that usually when it rains.
And it's one of those things, too, you know, that you use the word rare, and he's probably right, because in the span of a season, if you had 100 practices, maybe 5 of them would be inside.
Right.
So, but it was the 5 when it was bad weather.
But mm-hmm. So you could make that argument and say a rare trip, but I think the insinuation there is – it's raining out, and it's rare that even in bad weather they would go inside.
A flag pops up. Huh, what's the flag?
You know?
But we need to do our duty to dispel any misinformation that may be perpetrated by
people. I think if they expect to play in bad weather, they might stay outside in bad weather. And certainly later in the season when they know it's going to be cold, they do whatever they can. Sometimes they go in the stadium, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Inside the bowl, because that's the easiest to keep in condition.
More often than not, when they're playing a home game, the Friday practice will be in the bowl.
Yeah, I was talking more along the lines of bad weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a bad weather on a Wednesday
mm-hmm.
in say December, you might see them inside the stadium practicing because they know they're going to play in bad weather. They want to practice
in it too. That makes sense. You know, but the noise before. You know, that's
they had a lot of noise, by the way, yesterday at practice.
Oh yeah.
I was out trying to. Film something. A lot of loud music.
Did you ask him to quiet it down while you were doing your 5 points?
I did. It was only 3 points. I said it's
seems
brief.
Like it's 5, but it's really not.
It's brief this year, Bill. Just 3. Yeah, they had Rush blaring in the background.
Giovanni in Chandler, Arizona says, remember when this show was about the Patriots?
Tom Sawyer was playing.
We should rename the show to Tim Tebow in Progress. Or
we haven't talked about him today!
Or should we re-sign Wes Welker in Progress? Or maybe even,
do they
sell more ice cream in the summer or the winter in Progress?
Or maybe we should name it, if you don't like it, don't listen in Progress.
I've got to first congratulate Andy on the new Wilson
Hart
Index.
Sorry, you're a very nice person.
As an astrophysics major and lab researcher, I highly appreciate solid statistics and mathematical data.
Yeah.
Can't wait to play Pittsburgh this week. Down here in Arizona, there are no Cardinals fans, only Cowboy and Steeler fans. We beat the Cowboys, so beating Pittsburgh should keep the state's sports fans pretty quiet for a while. I think the defensive line will step up this week and get a few sacks with that banged-up Pittsburgh O-line. And I think the Pats' offense has a ton of options, but should use play action if they can set up a somewhat successful running attack early. I say Patriots 34, Steelers 24.
That's a good email.
One quick aside, I watched NFL Films' Autumn Thunder and noticed it was produced by a certain Ken Rogers. I immediately remembered when Fred called him Kenny Rogers, to which Andy laughed. Oh, and by the way,
and he just laughed again.
Brooklyn Matt is a complete hipster douchebag. He probably walks around with no shoes and wears a fedora. Idiot.
And something in his mouth.
Wow.
Oh.
Listener on listener crime.
Cigarette.
As always, Jets are garbage. Andy is awesome, and Ken Walter rules. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, it's time to go around the NFL. I know we got a ton of emails we didn't get to. We'll leave them for, who's the kid coming in after this?
Jeff Howe.
Jeff Howe, and he can figure out how to read them.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with cheese combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this when you're ready.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live, shop retailers, and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
PFW in Progress, 508-298-0398, or web radio at patriots.com.
All right, we're back, and it is Thursday, so that means it's time to go around the NFL. All right. Good, Kevin. I got the music on cue. Paul, before we go to this week's game, last week was, I thought, a bad slate of games, but what happened with us?
Well, you did well.
Oh.
And Andy's first week using his Brooklyn Decker format paid dividends for him. Fred wins 9-4, Andy 8-5, Eric 7-6, Paul 6-7, continuing suck it up.
Progression there.
And with the spread, it was the worst week I can ever recall having for myself. But the winners were Andy and Fred at 6-6-1.
Nice.
Eric was 5-7-1, and I went 2-10-1.
Ooh.
With a spread.
There goes your retirement fund.
Yes. Good thing I didn't use my theory this week. Just bet them all.
Your $1,300 theory.
Right. So for the season, Eric remains in the lead, 72-31. Fred is 71-32, just one game behind. And I am 69-34, and Andy is 65-38.
Oh, I'm coming for you.
You are catching me. You caught me with a spread because of my 2-10 this week. Eric continues to lead in that department as well, 52-47-4. Fred is 50-49-4, and Andy and I are 44-55-4.
Okay. All right. So let's go to this week's games. There's no game tonight, Thursday night.
They haven't started.
He makes me laugh every single week.
Before Thanksgiving. Before Thanksgiving, I think.
This is before Thanksgiving.
Yes, but not this early before Thanksgiving.
Before Thanksgiving and after now.
Okay. So no game tonight, but there are games at 1 o'clock on Sunday. So let's go to the first one. Arizona at Baltimore. Baltimore.
Ravens by 13.
I'll take the number 5 ranked Ravens to win and cover, beating up, bouncing back, and exercising the demons from Monday night.
Boy, I definitely am taking the Ravens, Paul. That's a big number, even for a bounce back. Cardinals are traveling cross country.
Kevin Call blows.
They suck. I'll go with the Ravens both ways.
Even had to think about
that?
Yeah,
me too. Yeah. Baltimore.
Me too. All right. Sunday at 1, Minnesota at Carolina.
Carolina by 3.5.
Ooh, 3.5.
Ooh. It's at Carolina. So I will take the Carolina Panthers because these two teams are actually tied for 26th in the power rankings.
Oh.
So therefore, I'll take the home team and the better rookie quarterback, mm-hmm. although Ponder is not a bad option.
No, I'm going to go with the Panthers to win their second game in a row with Newton. And for the same reason, I think, despite what, you know, the argument that Paul and I had the other day about Ponder and his performance against the
piss poor
against the Packers.
Paul's
I think he's
looking for 38 for 42 for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, no interceptions.
Well, every rookie. I think a baseline is 50% completions, not 30.
But I'm going to go with Newton because he's had more game experience, even though it's not a whole lot more. It's enough, and he's at home, so I'll go with the Panthers both ways, Paul.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Panthers too, but I do think your boy will have a good game because Carolina's pass defense has struggled all
that
year.
May be.
I think he'll look a lot better than he did against the defending Super Bowl champs in Ponder's defense, who, by the way, we all liked.
Yes.
Christian Ponder.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Carolina with the worst guy in the NFL, according to Paul Perillo, Cam Newton. So.
I don't think that's far
but
off.
But not because he stole, not because he cheated on tests.
Well, all of it.
Simply because
all
he paid to play.
All of it. I mean, he's a bad guy because he gets arrested. You know, you got in a lot of trouble. But the straw to me was the pay-for-play scam.
So you're bad if you get arrested, but not if you don't get arrested?
Sure. You know, he got in trouble. He got in a lot of trouble.
Sunday at 1, Jacksonville at Houston. Now, Jacksonville's coming off a big win.
Yeah.
The world champion Texans by 9.5. According to the Wilson Hart Index.
And according to a tweet I saw from Cold Hard Football Facts, I have them fourth in my poll.
That's who you want to align yourself with.
Cold Hard Football Facts has them one in their power rank.
Usually you don't give much
credence. That's who you want to align yourself with.
No, I think there's
500
stupid
teams that are ranked
one. You give credence?
Credence.
Cam Newton?
Credence.
You give Cam Newton something? I will take the Houston Texans to
9.5.
Win
and
cover a large differential. And despite the win, I think, and the energy I saw from the defense of the Jags, I don't think they're a very good football team.
I think that was their Super Bowl.
Yeah, that was a good win for them on Monday night, but it's not going to happen in Houston. Texans are going to win, and they're going to win big. I think they got some confidence bouncing back last week the way they did.
Yeah.
So I think that carries over again this week.
Yeah, despite my criticisms of Andy, I do think the Texans are a pretty good team. Maybe not the fourth best team in football, but pretty good. and I think they roll over Jacksonville.
All right. Well, if they do win, they'll go up in the Hart-Wilson rankings.
Not necessarily.
Wilson-Hart.
It's not all. It's right. not a Paul Perreault
right.
win-based
right.
formula.
You're right.
It's the Wilson-Hart power index.
Why do we want to let the results get in the way of the
right. Yeah, you got a friend in Cole, some idiot on Twitter. Maybe you should take wins into account for your pets.
That's Cole from Cole Hard Football Facts.
No, Kale.
Right?
Sorry, Kale.
Kale.
Because then I said, oh, quiet.
Kale that does the fields?
I don't know. But all I
no,
said
I hope
was,
not, because we like him.
He makes a good soup, and that's all he's good for.
You take Houston there?
These are the fights I get
Yeah, what's the number?
Nine and a half.
I will take Houston, but I will also say they will not cover.
Have you seen Blaine Garrett?
Miami at the Giants.
Hey,
Sunday
Kevin,
at one.
Kevin, you got to get me Detroit and Denver spread.
I'll take Detroit.
What do you got? Miami
at the
Giants. Giants by 10.
Miami is the 31st team in my rankings. And where are the Giants are ninth, just behind the Jets and Patriots. I will take the New York Giants to win and cover.
You needed a ranking to tell you that?
I go by the ranking.
Boy.
I know, but you had a look?
I'll take the
was
Giants,
was there any doubt that
Paul,
the Giants were ranked
I
higher
just
than the Miami
be
Dolphins?
Accurate.
10?
Stop talking when he's
Paul,
10.
10? 10. Yeah. I'll take them to cover, too.
Yes, I will take the Giants as well. And yes, Freddie, he has to look up the rankings because he can't let his eyes dictate anything. It's a strict – you never know what it's going to say on there. It's a formula.
Yep.
So you have to look every one of them up.
Exactly.
I feel – it was one of those that looked like I was defending
yes,
him, but
right,
in reality
you really weren't.
I wasn't.
No.
Thanks, guy.
In reality, you're an a-hole.
I feel sorry for Tony, what's his name, over
Sperano?
In Miami. Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I see his house Manero? Up for sale now.
Well, is it actually,
an empty nester.
It's been up for sale since January.
Yeah, when he thought he was fired the first time.
Was it really?
Seriously.
That's the first time when they were negotiating with Harbaugh.
No,
he thought he was out then.
No, he was on the radio yesterday. He says, look, I have, I don't know how many kids. He said, they're all gone. I'm an empty nester. The house has been up, you know, because, but I don't really want to move from Florida. I love the beach. He goes, when I'm not doing football.
So take the house off the market.
Well, it's too big.
Yeah,
he wants to get
the
rid
empty,
of get, wants
the empty nester parties.
When you're about to be fired, you don't want to have a big mortgage on your hands.
But do you remember when we had the first regular season version of the pregame social and we talked to that gentleman from Miami and we both asked him questions regarding the lame duck status of Sperano when he sort of scoffed at us?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't think he's a lame duck. Like he got kind of mad at like us using that term.
He was a lame duck the day he was hired.
No, he was a lame duck the day they were entertaining every Tom, Dick, and Harry to replace him in January.
So I'm going to go with the Giants to cover.
Okay,
you had to look that up.
No, I didn't, idiot.
Hey, there's your hero on ESPN, Tim Tebow.
Dreaming.
See, this is why I have problems with that side of the argument.
It's unfairly biased. Yeah, it's not biased.
New Orleans at St. Louis, Sunday at 1.
New Orleans by 13.
Ooh, New Orleans.
I'm going to have to take them to win. The 11th ranked team in the Wilson-Hart Power Index winning cover.
My guy playing? Is he back yet? The Sam Chase?
Don't know. They think he's going to, but it's not sure yet.
Doesn't matter.
But. Doesn't matter because the Saints will win and cover against a bad Rams team.
Yeah, it's a lot of points on the road, but the way the Rams are playing, it's hard to take the points. I'll take New Orleans and I'll lay the numbers.
Yeah, and the way the Saints are playing, too. I'll do the same. Final Sunday at 1 game. Not that it starts later than the other, but on my sheet, it's the final one.
Every week he makes me laugh. Every week.
Indianapolis at Tennessee. Tennessee disappointed me last week.
I'm sure that was high on their list of things they want redemption for.
Well, I heard as they ran out of
Mike Munchak
for Fred.
Yeah, Mike Munchak said
he was okay.
That
he was okay, you know. But listen, I know these things happen, guys. But Fred, you got to answer to Fred.
Right,
8.5. The Tennessee Titans favored by 8.5.
Who are they playing?
Colts.
Indy.
The Tennessee Titans dropped 7 slots. In the Hart-Wilson Power Index.
Wilson-Hart.
Wilson-Hart Power Index from last week. But that's not far enough to drop them down into the Colts territory of the 32nd ranked team. I will take the Titans to win and cover.
I will take the Titans. Yeah, the Colts.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it. I can't do it.
Yeah. Eric just had an orgasm.
I am very tempted to make this my upset special of the week because I just can't imagine a team of professionals not coming out to play after what they just did the other night. But I can't do it. Yeah. I'm going to take Tennessee. I'll take the points. The 8.5. I say that they go back to what they did before this game and they make it a competitive game.
I agree
but
with
Paul. But I can't take them to win a
this
game.
This might have broken their backs for the year.
I don't see how they win a game playing the
you
way they
just got to believe whether it's Jim Caldwell or Bill Polian or Peyton Manning himself has that speech that says, look,
how about some dignity. How about a little pride?
Right.
That was really the first game all year that you looked at it and said,
well, but
there's not an option.
You know, the Titans could be thinking the same thing. They got blown out by
and that's part
by
of the
Houston,
why
so
not,
they could
I'm
be coming out
there.
Saying, hey, have
some pride.
You're a better team than this.
Right. I just think that they'll put up a fight. They'll lose, but they'll cover.
You were right. They'll lose, but they'll cover Indianapolis. You're right.
Okay, let's go to the 4 o'clock games, 4:05, Washington at Buffalo.
This game is in Toronto, Big Head, and the Bills are favored by 6
are they?
The Dome.
A?
George Wilson not happy with playing home games in Toronto, by the way.
I will take the number 6-ranked Buffalo Bills over the number 21-ranked Washington Redskins in Toronto.
Boy, the Redskins sure did a pretty precipitous plummet, didn't they, from looking like they started off, they start off 2-0?
They started off pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah, what are they now, 3-3?
I think so. I will take the Bills.
12th, is that what you said?
20th, I said. 20th. I will take 21st. The Bills, Paul. What was that number again?
Pardon?
6.
They will win by more than 7, so I will take them to win and cover.
I am going to take the Bills, too, but if I'm not mistaken, if they even won it, if they won any of the games in Buffalo, I mean, in Toronto?
I'm not sure.
This will be the first one.
I don't think they have. I think this is the first one, and to me,
they're better now.
As much as Rex Grossman can be an absolute train wreck, I think he is an NFL quarterback. I don't think the same of John Beck.
Oh.
John Beck is going to be playing in this game, and that's why I'll take the Bills.
So I'm going to take the Bills as well and to cover.
He starts here,
4:05, Detroit at Denver. It's Tebow time.
This game has been off the board in a lot of places because of Stafford's pending status, but the Lions are favored by 3.
I'll take the Lions, who are the number 3-ranked team in the power rankings, formerly number 1. As of last week, and the Denver Broncos are the 28th ranked team, so this is quite a wide margin between the talent levels of these two franchises. And I hate Tebow.
Even if Sean Hill has to play, I like the talent of the Lions much more than overall on the Broncos.
He's better than Tebow.
And I'm going to take the Lions to win and cover.
Yeah. Now, does your index take into account injuries?
Of course.
Such as Stafford?
Of course.
Okay, there is a number.
Doesn't really
you place a a power of 10.
No, this is a performance based index.
X equals 1 in this formula.
Can we stop asking questions about my damn index?
Does it take into consideration divine help? Because then Denver should be
I'm going to take Detroit, and I agree with Eric. Even if Sean Hill has to play, I think they bounce back. But this is typical Tebow, the anointed one. You know, his first real test against a real team. And the quarterback for the other team is
it's okay.
His status is in question on the Thursday prior to the game.
Yeah, Sue will. It's not going to help his completion percentage, right? So.
Well, he already proved he doesn't have to complete any passes to win. He just did that last week.
All right.
And Sue is going to break him in half. That's the bottom line. It's the last game we'll have to.
I'll take Detroit.
Just the hatred.
Sue will kill him.
I'm going to take
again.
Detroit
I don't know
as
where
well.
The hatred comes from.
I'm simply evaluating
the fact that he didn't complete any passes last week.
It's seething out of
your pores. He put a nickel-plated pistol in his mouth and he pulled the trigger.
Is this not the perfect matchup, though? It's the guy who's developing into the hated villain versus God's gift to the game of football. The guy who he kicked the guy when he was laying on the ground and said, get the car.
Might the words good versus evil come into play in this game?
And good is Sue.
You took who?
Suck ass
Detroit.
Tebow.
You took Detroit. Yep. So you're a non-believer as well. Okay. No further questions.
So he has to win every game for him to be good. See, the standard for him,
he's 2-2. He's 2-2. He has to win every game.
Well, that's it. And unless he's like 400 yards.
I like how they're both trying to persuade me in this argument.
2-2, and I'm claiming he has to win every game.
All right. I can tell you is if my brother wasn't there, I'd still be on him pounding the shit out of him. Okay,
never gets old.
All right, love that. Let's go to the 4:15 games.
We're going to skip over the first one, right?
And we're going to go to Cincinnati at Seattle, a real barn burner.
Cincinnati by 3.
Over who?
Seattle. Ask Ichiro. Ooh, Ichiro plays for Seattle.
Cincinnati, the number 10 ranked team in the power rankings.
Gotta hurry.
Will beat the 23rd ranked Seattle Seahawks. Cincinnati, clearly the better football team.
I don't know about clearly, but...
Oh, clearly, 6-3.
I don't know, but I will take the Bengals. I'm going back and forth on this, because I can't believe the Seahawks are going to lose all these games.
They suck.
But really, that much?
Yes, they suck.
Yeah. I'll take the Bengals to win. The number was 3, Paul?
Correct.
4.
today.
I'll take them to cover as well.
Yeah, I understand Eric's reluctance. I'm going to take Cincinnati. They are clearly the better team, much, much better team. But something happens when teams that don't normally go out to Seattle have to go to Seattle.
I know.
So this could be one of those games where something funny happens. No Cedric Benson. Bernard Scott, I think, is playing in his place, and Maliuga's out.
Scroll on ESPN, just said
Stafford. I'm going to take the Bengals.
First team reps in practice
today. Cleveland at San Francisco, 4:15. Cleveland at San Francisco.
Niners by 8.5.
Quickly.
When you're the 17th ranked team and you need to go into the home of the number one ranked team on the Wilson Hart Power Index, you lose. I'll take the San Francisco 49ers. Thank you.
I'll take the Niners to win. Give me that number, though, Paul. I think the Browns will keep it close. No, I mean, give. I see what you did there.
I will take San Francisco, and I will take them to cover as well. I think Cleveland could get shut out in this game.
Oh,
I'm going to do what Eric did. San Francisco wins but does not cover.
Ontario Hardesty is going to rush 38 times for 87 yards.
Sunday night, Dallas at Philadelphia. Sunday night.
Philadelphia by 3.5.
How about them Cowboys?
This is an easy one.
I will take the Dallas Cowboys to win. They're the better football team, and
they're
ranked
13th,
as opposed to the lowly ranked Philadelphia 24th ranked Eagles.
Yeah, I'm going to give the Cowboys the edge because of the overall talent on that team, and something tells me they're going to get it done coming off the bye, the embarrassment that they had in their last game here in Foxborough. And I think the Vic slide continues in Philly, so give me the Cowboys to win and couvert.
Now, I don't think it's going to affect your thing, but you know they're not coming off a bye, right, Dallas? Dallas played last week. They played St. Louis.
Yeah, you don't. Oh, yeah, that's right.
We're coming off a bye.
That's right.
I will take Philadelphia to win and continue their little bounce back.
Dallas both ways. And
Dallas
Monday
was coming off the bye when they played us.
Correct.
That's what happened.
Monday night, San Diego at Kansas City.
San Diego by 3.5.
Get that music
what
ready.
What is wrong with Philip Rivers, Andy Hart?
I don't know. I will take San Diego to win.
He's got head issues.
Although they're only a few slots ahead of the Kansas City Chiefs in the power rankings, but they are the better football team, clearly.
I'm going to take the better football team, which is...
San Diego Superchargers. Did you work this out?
Yeah. No, just 2 seconds ago. I said, get the music ready. He knows the drill now. There is something clearly going on with the Chargers, though. They're having their swoon midseason instead of early on.
I want to mix it up this year.
The difference is they've won some of these games, but they haven't really played well all year.
And I always get scared to take...
This is what they always do, but they usually lose some of these games.
I always get scared to take road teams in Arrowhead, even when the Chiefs are not playing well. But I'm going to do it this time. I'm going to fall in the trap. I'll take the Chargers to win and cover.
Yeah, I'm going to take San Diego as well. I think they
upset of the week, Kansas City wins this game.
They were last week's upset of the week.
Going back to 4:15, New England at Pittsburgh.
I'm sorry.
The number?
Patriots by 3.
New England Patriots, ranked 7th in the Wilson Hart Power Index, will beat the 13th-ranked Pittsburgh Steelers. I think it's going to be a little bit of a shootout. I think it's going to be similar to what we say pretty much every week. Patriots will have to score 30-something, and they'll probably give up 20-something.
They did last year.
Yeah, I just think that's...
39-26
I think those are the games they're going to play against teams. My one fear, if I'm a Patriots fan, is that for some reason that deep passing game works better than we expect it to, and a couple big plays from Wallace like we saw either last week or last year, and they have a chance.
But tell you what, Paul.
Steelers win.
They're going to have to cover Mike Wallace for 60 minutes. Thank you, Fred. He's taking too long with the rim shot. I will take the Patriots to win and cover. They are the better team, and they have success at Heinz Field. They're going to continue that.
Patriots in exactly the game that Andy Hart described. Scoring 30-something to 20-something.
And I agree with the Patriots winning and covering. They're the better team, and their dominance over Pittsburgh lately continues. All right, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. Thanks for listening all week. Next up is Jeff Howe from Nesson.com. filling in for John Rook.
Call him
and
Gordy.
Then he's
he
followed
that.
By B-Lo with Art. The fantasy lowdown at 4 o'clock. We'll see you next Tuesday.
I don't want to lose your love tonight.
See you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.